In the name of the Galactic Senate of the Republic, you're under arrest, Chancellor.
Are you threatening me, Master Jedi?
The Senate will decide your fate.
I am the Senate.
Not yet.
It's treason, then.
You're listening to Nowhere Moment, film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
There's money falling from the sky. Cause a man took my heart and robbed me blind. Someone stole my brand new Chevrolet. And the rent is due, I got no place to stay. Ooh. Ooh.
Ooh. Anybody else got anything to say?
I do. I think you're out of order, Blackie.
What do you know? You're just a prostitute. Someone who sells her body to anyone with a financial wherewithal to.
All right. That'll be enough of that kind of talk.
What in the hell are you?
Just a stranger passing through.
Where in the hell do you get that shirt?
How a person dresses is nobody's business but his or her own.
What?
You heard me.
You know what you look like to me? You look like one of those fellas who's attracted to other men.
This is just a warning. If you or your men draw on me, I'll shoot each man in the hand.
In the hand?
That's right.
Not in the face or the chest?
Nope.
I don't like the idea of getting shot in the hand.
Then go home, Blackie.
Go home.
That's right.
Go home?
Yeah, and see someone about your hearing.
Draw your gun, prairie fairy.
I never draw first.
Well, hell, that's no problem. Don't just stand there, boys. Get him. Now!
Uh-oh.
Now we've done it.
All right, you two. Get your friend and get out of here.
But he's dead.
So what? Get him out of here. And it's hard to say.
To return this book.
I'm sorry, we can't take this book back.
Why not?
It's been flagged.
Flagged?
It's been in the bathroom.
It says that on the computer?
Please take it home. We don't want it near the other books.
Well, you just lost a lot of business because I love to read.
Eaten wrong. I never knew that food is a benefit to your body. I never looked at it that way.
I always looked at food and it was another awful thing I'm about to do. Oh, God, I'm going to have one of those. I never realized that food is supposed to be good. It's supposed to make you feel good. You should eat like a little piece of salmon this big, and then you're like, oh, shit, look at what I can do. That's supposed to be the effect of food. You're not supposed to just push more and more shit in until you're like, oh, God. Oh. You're not supposed to have to cancel shit because of something you ate. That's not the desired effect of food. You eat a little piece of lettuce, and the guy in your belly catches it. This is amazing. I can make skin cells and blood cells and some energy. The guy in my belly hates me. He gets my third donut. He's like, what are you... Come on, man. What do you imagine I'm doing with those? I can't... There's no part of you I can make out of donuts. Just a storage issue. I got nowhere to put it. Four. He's eating four donuts. It's 10 o'clock. Oh, and he's jacking off now. Come on, man. Get a grip. Just stop. And the other guy's like, what do you want to do with the donuts? Just shit them out. Shit all of them out. Whole. Let him find four whole donuts in the toilet. Let's see if that slows him down. Oh, my God. I just shat four perfect donuts.
Good, Annika, good. Kill him. Kill him now.
I shouldn't.
Do it.
Yeah, do it, Anakin. Woo-hoo! Hey, everybody. It is I, the J-Strom. Welcome to the show. How's it going? Welcome to the show. I hope everyone can hear me. I hope my mic is loud enough. Hey, Bill. How you doing?
Hello. Hello.
Let me introduce the formal way. We have Stephen, the pop culture zealot. Hey. And Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian.
I could tell Laura wasn't there because she's in the chat room.
Ah, yeah, she couldn't make it. And I am the J-Strom! Oh, sorry, I'm feeling a little crazy right now, but hey, Bill, how are you, sir?
I'm hanging in there. How are you, sir?
You know, I'm excited. Got the new PC all hooked up. Just kind of confusing with, you know, how the old computer, we had the audio settings perfect, where we never had to mess with it again. It'd probably been that way for, 6 years straight. You know, after we got it licked, we got it all set. So now it's like learning it all over again, and it's pretty tough. But I think we're learning. We're learning.
We're getting there. Baby steps.
Yeah, baby steps. And maybe we should get a mixer. I know you were talking about that earlier this week. Maybe we should get a mixer.
I've been looking into it. I think there's a good possibility of that. But in order for us to get a mixer, we would have to get you a second computer, like a small laptop to run Skype specifically.
Well, I have my old computer.
Would you run a cable from one room to the other?
A cable?
Yeah, because you would have to have two computers. One computer to run Skype, and then into the mixer for a mix minus setup. And then you run all the effects and everything else from your main computer.
What a pain in the ass!
I know you can't run them both from the same computer because you have to use two different sound card settings.
Well, I'll think about it.
Exactly, it's an investment,
right?
And you just got a brand new computer, and it's fine right now. I'm not getting any feedback. Sounds good.
Hey, it sounds like our show all the time, Bill. No feedback. good
that
time.
It's so true. I feel like crying. But.
No, but you know what? I do want to speak positively for a bit about the show and feedback. We put out the best of Nowhere in Mulberry last week, did we not? And
we did? I swear, I had no idea from the feedback.
And We got a pretty good response from our regular Facebook followers, Twitter followers, for the best of Nowhere in Mulberry. Basically, you go to Nowhere in Mulberry, You click on the PayPal, you donate $5. A lot of people have donated more than that, to be generous. And
there were a few really generous donations.
Right, and I appreciate all of it. And a lot of people have told me that they really enjoyed the best of, and I'm glad. It's a lot of fun. I've listened to it a couple times, you know, going through it, editing it, and I was like, man, I hope people like this, because what a pain in the ass. But it was worth it, especially, you know, Adam, when he was listening to it, he was texting me drops throughout it. And I knew he was listening to it. As soon as he texted me, it said,
"How the hell did you get my phone number?"
He said, "I am fully aware of my demon possession." And I knew right then he was listening to it. I was like, oh, Adam's listening to the best stuff. But if anyone who's listening now, you know, you don't follow us on Facebook or Twitter, know that you can go to NoraMulberry.com, donate $5, and you'll get access to the best of Nora Mulberry. It's 4 hours long, basically. And
or more. We don't want to limit them to just $5.
Yeah, five or more. Whatever, you know, you feel like you're able
no
to
less.
Do. No, you know, more, no less. No more. No less.
Whatever you feel guilty enough to give.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that Stephen? Are you in the other room?
What?
No, can you hear Stephen okay?
Hear
testing 1, 2, 3.
Barely. Put that mic next to his mouth.
It's right in front of me, dude.
Sibilance. Okay. Sibilance. Check, check, check.
He's a little low. Just a little.
Okay. See, we have.
I'll try to speak a little louder.
See,
Bill.
Laura, there you go.
Laura just texted me. Let's. She can. Laura, text me if there's anything wrong with the audio. You are our special. What would you call it? Maintenance crew. You know, she's here to report back. She's like, we can't hear Steven. Please have him speak louder. Okay, we got it. She's in the other room. You know, through the glass window.
I'm going to turn up my headset here a little bit.
She's our engineer.
I had to turn mine up because it's real kind of. It's kind of dull down.
Yeah, we're just, you know.
Are you saying I'm dull?
We're going through the motions here.
But no, it sounds kind of muffled, you know, but it's something different.
F you, Stephen.
I can hear you, Stephen.
You're not dull.
I can hear you just fine, Stephen. No, what I want to know is, can Zell hear Stephen? Is that okay, Zell? Is that level all right?
Hey, buddy.
Huh? Laura,
yeah, Laura said Stephen is a little low.
She just texted me, Stephen is a little low. Ah, good times. All right. Well, anyway, guys, thank you for donating for the best of Nora Mulberry. I really appreciate anything you donated. It really helps. And I'm hoping to, in the near future, you know, I've been talking to you about it, Bill. I've been throwing it out there about charging for the enhanced podcast.
Sure.
It's just an idea of what can we charge for? Like, say you $2 an episode or something like that. It's just something I'm throwing out there. And I was even thinking, hey, maybe we could throw in a bonus, like a bonus 30 minutes extra of conversation, like an after the show kind of thing. You know, where we're
That's,
just shooting
yeah,
the shit
we do plenty
the
of that.
Yeah, just a post thing, you know, that isn't on the regular feed, and what you're donating for is the enhanced podcast, and also mm-hmm. you're donating that little extra bit. Something where it's like a regular income every week from the show.
That would be nice.
Right. That's what I'm throwing around there. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm throwing out there. So
we need candy money.
Yeah, we do need candy money. No, wait. I don't eat candy anymore, Bill.
It'd no, be, I don't either, sadly.
Apple money. Fruit money.
Fruit money.
Fruit sucks.
Fruit and vegetables.
I've discovered this. I don't enjoy fruit nearly as much as a Snickers.
Yeah, but you can't think about that.
No, I don't. In fact, I have a plum sitting here next to me, ready for the break.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know. Oh, what was that?
If I could poop whole donuts, I'd be happy, because then I could just eat them again.
I love that whole Louis thing.
Just shit them out. Shit all of them out. Whole.
Shit them all out. You know, what did you guys think of the little Revenge of the Sith clip there? Did you guys catch that?
Yeah, that made sense. You know, Neutron, I don't know if it's an excited particle, but it you know...
Mm-hmm.
There could be some particles, neutrons in lightsabers that worked.
You know, actually, Palpatine, he wanted to ask you a question, Bill.
What was that?
Did you ever hear the tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise?
You know, it's something about a guy who tried to cheat death. I have heard that. But I'm really interested in this water ballet. So if you could keep your story to yourself.
It's a Sith legend. Darth Plagueis.
No, really.
We didn't ask. We don't
thanks.
Want
yeah, I'm
so powerful and so wise. He could use the Force.
Okay, shut up.
Sorry, you know, you sure do know an awful lot about Sith legends for a senator.
Yeah, well, he can't possibly be a Sith Lord. A who?
No.
A what? Let's go ahead and talk about this, Bill. Star Wars is on Blu-ray today, huh? Dun, 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 dun. And we don't care, do we?
Nope. Nope, not at all. And, I'm probably one of the world's biggest Star Wars fans. I want nothing to do with it. I'm so tired of him screwing around with the original trilogy that I'm done. You know, I'll read the books and enjoy myself with those, but until he releases the original films intact without any of his little tweaks and upgrades, I'm not biting.
Are you threatening me, Master Jedi?
I am.
Yeah,
I am.
Basically, I was like, you know, I might get this. It's only $89.99 or $79.99 on Amazon. And then the news came out that people were like, holy shit, did you guys see this? They've actually added more changes to the movies. And at first, Bill, I wanted to believe, oh, this is some clever prank online. This is bullshit.
That's what I thought, too.
Like, for instance, okay, the crate dragon in the original Star Wars, you know, remember when the sand people are messing with the land speeder and Obi-Wan comes and does that, like that, and they're like, oh, shit, let's get the hell out of here. Well, they change it to a boo or some shit like that.
It and basically sounds like a gay guy screaming at a rave party.
So
it's
they
like, wah wah wah.
When they change it to that, Bill, I was like, "What the hell is this shit?" And this was like a long time ago when they did the new versions of the original trilogy, but they've changed it again. So now it's like, and I was like, whoa, what did he just do? He's a little excited.
I don't even think he knew what he did.
I was like, what the hell is going on here?
It's a force-manipulated crate dragon scream.
The first version was awesome.
Yeah, it was like a scary yell screech.
I love that. It's something like when you're a kid, you hear a sound, and it's just so cool and imaginative. Everything about the sound effects in Star Wars, and to go and change it, it's just like, why did you do this? It always throws me off, even now when I saw the, what did they call it, the new edition? Star Wars, the new edition, or something like that. And I was like, I don't really like that. But now they
That's
change it.
The new edition.
Yeah.
Now Mr. Telephone Man.
So now they change it again, Bill. Line. And not only that, okay, I don't know if you even know this, Steven. Did you look at any of these videos?
Yeah, I did.
The one where, the Emperor, he's electrocuting Luke, and he's like, Father, please! And, you know, Darth Vader's just sitting there, and he turns, he kind of looks, and you're not sure what he's going to do. But now he's like, no! Yeah. What? What the hell is that? He doesn't say no. Get out of here. That shit is ridiculous. I mean, sometimes a lot of my reactions to the internet are, come on, people, just calm down. It's no big deal.
Yeah,
but that was like, no, this is bullshit. This
what
is freaking ridiculous.
They added CGI rocks in front of R2 to hide him.
Yeah. I still don't know if that's real.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. I refuse to see it, so I'm not. I don't know if it's real. The other thing was shit. You put me on another path, Steven. Damn it.
There's one where I haven't seen the clip of it, but I've heard they've added even more to Jabba's band, Jabba's Palace band.
Oh, God, no. What, another quartet of Biff?
Now, that was a funny clip you put on with everybody saying no.
Did they,
yeah, that
did
was
they
good,
take the song out? The Cy Snoodles horrible?
I don't know, because I didn't see video of that. But there's even the no during that scene is pretty bad. I mean, I objected to a lot of things, like the adding of Tamira Morrison is now the voice of all the stormtroopers. They did that before, and that drove me nuts. Now Boba Fett and the stormtroopers all talk like the same guy. How boring is that? Why? The whole idea of clones is boring.
Yeah, well, the whole idea of clones negates the entire idea that there are people, there are kids that want to go to the academy so they can become Imperial troopers. So that, why would anybody ever want to go to the academy if there's clones? They wouldn't need anybody to sign up for the academy.
Right, and that's another thing. In the time of Star Wars where Luke is, I mean, there's a lot of clone deaths. I know. Eventually you're going to run out, I would think. And you would think Lucas would even think that. I don't need to change that. But he's like, no, I've got to make it fit with my shitty prequels, so I'm going to go and change the original trilogy!
You know, even the prequels was some of the worst things that happened to the books, because then the writers had to stay within the guidelines of his ridiculous prequel stuff.
He doesn't like you.
It does start to drive me nuts if I start to think about it, you know?
Yeah, and I love Star Wars. I love it. I took out my laser discs and watched the original trilogy, and then there was that link on first showing of the three documentary feature length Star Wars for each, you know, for Star Wars A New Hope, Empire, and Return of the Jedi, and I watched the first one.
Right.
And it's like it kind of reinvigorates your love of the material. And
yes,
where they
totally.
Were at the time whenever they made it, the amount of creativity that went into it.
I posted a link on Facebook, Bill, for people to watch these. They're on YouTube.
Yeah. But, I mean, just watching that and seeing the amount of creativity that went into it and just the effort is so wonderful that – it's awful that George Lucas decides, this isn't good enough. I'm going to clean this up, or I'm going to totally change this, or I'm going to... Yeah, it's. I think you said Phil Tippett had made the comment that he wasn't real happy with the changes, and I kind of agree. It's like pissing on the memory hard work that these people did.
It does. It pisses on what you worked on all that time ago, you know?
Like the one that I was watching it with my brother the other day, the original Star Wars, it was on TV, you know, and Luke says, hey, this little robot here, who is this? Have you seen him from when you were younger?
Oh, you mean all the continuity doesn't make sense now. Oh, yeah, I know.
It's just like, I was telling my brother, he hadn't really paid attention. I was like, do you not realize this?
No robot.
Wait, what are you talking about?
He's talking about
R2 was around when they were... From the prequels,
there's a gazillion million different protocol droids. I mean, C-3PO isn't just his name; it's the number of the droid. There's C-3PO protocol droids all over the galaxy. So, I mean, there's an entire possibility he wouldn't know that was the C-3PO.
Well, we're just
I'm sorry, my geekiness is getting the better of me.
I understand that. He's just talking about, like, even C-3PO, we know they threw in the line that he doesn't remember because he got his memory wiped, but supposedly R2 remembers. I don't know.
R2, you know, there was a whole set of, I can't remember which book it was, but it was Luke looking for a part and going back through R2's memory banks.
Right.
And those memories were still there. They were just really, really deep. What happens is, there's only so much memory and it starts to write over memories.
Right.
So there's only – oh, my God. I'm such a dork.
Yeah, good times.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm a massive dink.
Yeah, so anyway, we will not be buying the Blu-rays. Instead, watch those, what is it called, the Star Wars documentaries? The exact name so people can look it up on YouTube, Bill.
I think one is Star Wars Begins,
right,
and the second one is Building Empire.
It basically plays the movie and then puts, like, they've compiled all sorts of crazy, like, audio interviews of everyone involved in Star Wars, and then they do little alternate cuts of the lost cut of Star Wars. It's just so much Star Wars information there, and you start to geek out like, this is what I love about Star Wars. There's so much information, how cool it is. And then you start to get sad when you realize just how much it, I mean, just how the Blu-ray, honestly, you just want that original version that you remember as a kid. We don't want the added no and shit like that.
You know what's crazy? I would gladly take the theatrical cuts of the films with cleaned up matte paintings, you know, new stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just fixing little imperfections.
In the name of the Galactic Senate of the Republic, you're under arrest, Chancellor.
Okay.
When they did the special editions and they went through all that stuff about how on Hoth in the A-Wings, how they would have the lines where you could see the matte paintings pass through the cockpit lines and everything and how they went and cleaned that up. I have no problem with that stuff. Just take out all the other extraneous bullshit Lucas added in.
If you're going to fix anything, change Padme's stupid voice in The Phantom Menace.
No.
You must do something quickly.
We do not have time to discuss it in a committee.
A committee. Yeah, what the hell is that?
Hey, that's royal speak.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
That's Nabooian royalty speak.
Okay, enough of the Star Wars talk. I want to talk about something that happened that was really sad. It was like a punch in the gut, and that's Andy Whitfield of Spartacus passed away last Sunday. You texted it to me, Bill, and I just was like, oh, no! Like, holy shit! It totally came out of nowhere, you know? I was thinking that he was getting better somewhere. You know, he was recovering.
Resting and recovering.
I remember when he first was diagnosed, I thought they caught it early and all signs were positive. So it was pretty shocking finding that out, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma is normally a very survivable cancer. In fact, I think like Mario Lemieux was diagnosed with it.
Right, right.
And I kind of thought, you know, just get healthy and then we'll see you in something else because he's too good not to be noticed and put into other roles. He has this really raw emotional quality to his acting where it feels like you're invested in what he's experiencing. He's even looking at like the cover of the Spartacus Blu-ray and just the intensity with he acted was just so noticeable and wonderful. But yeah, I saw it on Twitter. I forget who it was, but it was somebody related to the show that posted on Twitter, you know, the link to ABC News, the Australian broadcasting, that he had passed that morning. And I was dumbfounded. It's like I had said, oh, no, out loud. And then I was like, oh, no, I got to tell Jason. Because we were just talking about Spartacus not a couple of days before that. And, when I sent it to you, I was just – I debated whether or not I should send it to you. But I was better that he hear it from me, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm glad you did. It just was like, holy – you know, I was even put – because the Gods of the Arena Blu-ray came out on Tuesday. So I was going to put out that mashup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like that Tuesday. So it was already done and ready to go. And then it was just, I was like, should I even put this out now? I mean, I don't know. I was just confused and really saddened by all of it. It was really sad. And I'll miss Andy.
Yeah, because Gods of the Arena really came from his sickness.
Right. They did it because he wasn't available yet. And remember, he went into remission and all was going to be fine. And then
he went back to all the new, like the TV interviews. He went to Comic-Con and got a standing ovation.
Yeah.
He did that thing with that, it's either Freddy or Teddy. I'm not sure. That Wong that does those YouTube videos. They did that Time Crisis.
Yeah, yeah. Those
videos.
That
guy's
hilarious. He's awesome.
Because even in an interview, an extra interview on that, he was saying that that was the last thing he was going to do, that in 12 hours he was hopping on a plane to start Spartacus season 2.
Right.
And it wasn't shortly after that. I guess maybe he got to New Zealand and they did another test and they said, it's back, I guess.
Yeah.
It was sudden and it was sudden and shocking because there were pictures. I mean, like 3 months ago, we were wondering what was going on. So I did a search and there was a picture of him walking with his family in Sydney, Australia. And he looked like he was doing good. You know, it didn't look bad at all. And I was hopeful.
Yeah, I wondered what kind of treatment. Was he going through chemo, or sometimes people do the alternative treatments and stuff? I have no idea, but it's just sad. Way too young. Yeah, he was my age, 39 years old. And I saw that and I was like, oh my God, I'm not ready to go. I know he wasn't either.
Well, what was so fantastic, though, is that he had a chance to live his dream because he was working as an engineer. And I guess this casting call came out and he wanted to go up for it. And his wife said, hey, you're not happy as an engineer. Do what you want to do. And he got Spartacus Blood and Sand. So, you know, at least he was able to share with us his talent. For, you know, how many episodes was it? 10 or 13?
Yeah, the first season. I can't remember.
10? I think it was 13.
Okay.
I think. I don't know. I just had the Blu-rays in my hand and I forget. But yeah, I'd become such a fan of him through Spartacus that for like 2 or 3 days, I was just really, really down.
Me too. I started reading all the stories of people and...
Yeah, I went on... the fan site of his and all his co-stars and friends had posted things on Twitter or
I even saw
Facebook.
Starz is going to re-air it as a tribute to him.
Oh, nice.
Really cool.
Yeah, and the guy that plays Asher posted this video that he put together of all these little behind-the-scenes moments set to this really kind of rather sad and appropriate song that I think was just a harmony part of a rap song called I'm Coming Home. And I was like, I burst into tears while I was watching it. So I was just so affected by it. I just didn't expect it.
I really was. Yeah, me too. So we'll miss you, Andy. And we'll always honor him when we watch Spartacus again, right? And
yeah,
you know,
I bought it. I bought it for that reason. I was waiting for some reason. I don't know. Maybe for like an Amazon Gold Box deal or something. But then when the news came out, I was like, you know what? I got to own it now.
And I know that. At least, oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say maybe some of the money will go to his family.
Right. Yeah. I wonder if like his family get residuals. And I was going to say like that first episode of the new season of Spartacus, I'm sure will honor him, you know, and have his name on it. I'm sure I'll get choked up then too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, same here. And I know Lucy Lawless set up a trust fund for his kids.
Oh, that's
so.
True.
There's details on Lucy Lawless's website on how to donate to the Andy Whitfield Children's
fantastic.
Trust Fund. So hopefully they'll be okay. You know, they made a really big family with that show, and hopefully those people will help look out for his kids.
Right. Okay, Bill, well, we've got some voicemail. Let's go ahead and get into that. And, you know, we covered Star Wars, the best of, and Andy Whitfield. We love him. We'll always love that guy. We'll always remember him. And that's pretty much, you know, what we wanted to cover, right?
Right. I think so.
All right.
Entertainment-wise, yeah.
Anybody else got anything to say?
Let's play some voicemail. How about our first voicemail is Adam! Hey, Adam, what's up? Sup, yo?
Hey, Nim guys and gal, it's Adam from the Bay Area. I just wanted to send in some feedback because I feel very badly that I have not done so in a while, and I feel very badly. That's not the way to say that. But anyways, I've been enjoying the show. It's been fun to listen. And last week, at the end of the show, you guys mentioned that you may record on this previous Saturday. For this last episode, 244. So Friday, I was like listening to the show for the second time, and I was making notes about all the stuff I wanted to talk about. And then I got home really late that night, and I was like, I'm just going to call Saturday morning or something like that. And then I saw that you guys went ahead and did the live show on that Friday, so I didn't send in my voicemail, and I felt really bad about that. But I'm sending one now to say that I just listened to 244. And it was good times. Jason had this incredible energy, and I love the Just Desserts, Top Chef Just Desserts with the guy with the candy cane, or not candy cane, cotton candy clouds. And then Bill started doing this this really bad, like, gay voice, but it was awesome, and it was making me laugh a lot. And I was working on the job with my dad at the time, and he thought I was nuts for laughing so much. But anyways, guys, I just wanted to say that I really appreciate the show. I have the best of, Nimbo. Nowhere in Mulberry Best Of. Calling it Nimbo, because it sounds cool. Almost like Bimbo. But, that's... I'm rambling at this point, but hey, I've always been partial to Himbo, and I've really been enjoying listening to the show lately. And I'm sorry that about the lack of feedback, and also about the lack of the twin IMs, because I really enjoy doing that, but just been on the grind lately, you know. So just got to take care of some things, and unfortunately, my schedule's really tight. But anyways, guys, I will be happy to hear the new show coming out this Friday. Or, Tuesday for me. So anyways, have a great show. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you very much. We always appreciate your voicemails, Adam. And I appreciate your text, too. Adam's, like, our biggest fan. And I love when he, like, texts me a drop or something. It's funny.
I thought it was funny the other day. I was going through my phone clearing out some contacts. And I saw his name on there. And I was like, what? Wait a second. Did he infiltrate my phone? I don't think I've ever talked to him personally, and yet I have his number on my phone.
Yeah, we started talking through text and stuff when he would come on the show, like do guest spots.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So
yeah.
We love you, Adam.
Kill him now.
That's cool.
What? Emperor, no! We will not do that to Adam.
It's treason, Ben.
Okay, whatever. All right, Bill, we've got another voicemail, this one from Patrick.
Hey, SpongeBob.
Hey.
Patrick. Cool. Oh, sorry.
Oh. Hey, Nowhere in Mulberry. This is Patrick, or Pro on the forums. And I haven't called in a while, so I usually just, post my comments on the forums, and I don't want you guys to get sick and tired of me. But I wanted to tell you a happy 6th anniversary. Congratulations. That, my friends, is a milestone. I don't think a lot of these podcasts that are around right now, they're not going to be able to hold up like a classic NIM show. I wanted to say that I love the Best of Mulberry, the donation show. First of all, I couldn't believe it was 4 hours when I downloaded it. And, man, that thing is solid gold. Usually, listen to NIM at work and try to get stuff done, pay bills while I'm listening to the show. And that thing was just so good that I was not getting anything done. I was just sitting there listening to that Best of NIM, and I was just cracking up. It was so great. I can't imagine what a bear that thing must have been to edit. But I just so many things. I totally forgot about Tool Academy and that Seducing Cindy show. I mean, that stuff was hilarious.
Great programming.
And, talk about some classic Eugene voicemails. Man, that was just icing on the cake. I also wanted to talk to you. I picked up Ready Player One, that book that you guys were talking about.
Sweet.
Pretty exciting so far. I'm about a third of the way through it, and it's pretty cool. It's definitely a... novel version of a Nowhere in Mulberry show. So many pop culture references, and
that's
it's good stuff. I really enjoy it so far.
That's the best compliment.
The
ever.
One last thing
it
I
really
wanted
is.
To talk to you about, what the hell ever happened to Twin IM? I really am missing that.
Adam forward all
and
calls
Ross,
to Adam.
You guys need to get together and bring that back. That was some good stuff, dudes. But I think that's about it. I hope you guys have a great show, and congratulations again on the 6 years to many, many more. Have a great show, folks. See you later.
Thank you, Patrick. That's awesome. Yeah. Ready Player One. Everyone,
I
got to
really thank Patrick, because him and Swiley are like the kings of the forum.
Yeah.
We've had some people drop off in their feedback. I remember for a while, was it JSR was going to try to unseat Swiley?
Yeah,
and
that was a long time ago.
He must have lost interest in our show.
No.
Yeah, but Patrick, thanks a lot. And that's so cool that you're reading Ready Player One. Somebody else told me they were too, and it's a great friggin' book, man.
I love that book so much.
I want to read it again after I finish the book I'm reading.
Yeah, I'm going to start reading
I'm
it again after.
I'm going to revisit it every year, Bill.
I have a whole stack of books. I call it my geek library. that I have never read, and they've always been staring at me. So, like, I have a bunch of William Gibson books, and right now I'm reading Neuromancer.
What do you think of that, Neuromancer?
It's wild.
I mean, honestly, to
read the book and then go back and look at the time period it was written in and the ideas that he had and how some of them have really come to fruition, it's just, it's so cool to read something that somebody is so ahead of their time.
Right.
But yeah, I'm digging it. It's very cool. It's I can see where Neal Stephenson was influenced for Snow Crash by it, which is another really cool cyberpunk kind of book, which I want to read again because it's so short. And also, Ernie Cline mentioned it in an interview. So there's like a whole series of books that I want to go back and reread before I read Ready Player One again.
Yeah, I think Snow Crash was a big influence on him.
Yeah, I'm really loving the Gibson books.
You know what I'm really loving, Bill?
Oh, and Zell, I'm sorry. Zell, yes, I'm going to read the whole Sprawl trilogy. You know, I'm just going back and reading all the
Zell,
Gibson.
Zell is now on the show? What the hell's going on here?
I know. He gets his ass in there.
All right. Thanks a lot, Zell, for interrupting the show. Wheels off.
And I cut you off. I'm so sorry. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to close the chat room window.
I don't care what Zell is doing right now. I'm trying to talk here, Zell. You mind? No, I don't know why I'm just picking on Zell this week.
It's because he's a know-it-all smartass.
Now, you know what I was going to say, Bill, was what I am enjoying is my new 24-inch monitor, widescreen monitor. Over
sexy.
You know, before we do the show, I had my 17-inch monitor, and I cram all the little icons in there. Steven, you saw it, yeah. And it's just like, holy crap,
well,
dude.
Wasn't it was 4:3, right? It wasn't a widescreen monitor.
Correct, yeah. 4:3. And so now I got this widescreen. I got shit everywhere, but it all fits, and it's awesome. So I'm sorry about that. Zell, what's going on with you? Let me just pause here.
Plus, it's a higher resolution. It's 1920 by 1080, so you've got more screen real estate.
Yeah, and I've got HDMI hooked up, and so far,
Pretty sweet.
It's beautiful to look at.
And I've been trying to get you to install Steam so that we can do some PC gaming.
There's Steam coming out of my PC!
Don't worry, it's just a great game platform.
Total steampunk computer system, that'd be awesome.
Well, it's from Valve. That's their whole play on the... Yeah.
All right, Bill, we have another voicemail. This one from Sean. Hey, let's check it out.
Hey, Mulberry and Sean. Happy to
hear
you guys
sick.
Are doing a live show tonight. I wish I could listen to it live, but I'll definitely download the podcast on Tuesday.
Thank you, Sean.
Also, the Best of NIMH show was epic. It was awesome. And like I posted on the Facebook wall, I was listening to it throughout that day after I got it, and I had no idea that 4 hours had passed. When it was over. Like, I seriously thought my iPod...
I love all this ass-kissing. It's fantastic.
And I looked at it, and I was like, holy shit. I just listened to 4 hours, and it went by like it was 20 minutes long. So, really good job on that. hopefully, a lot of people got it, and you guys got some donations sent your way. Definitely well worth
the
money.
Sean.
So, you guys have a great show tonight, and I'll talk to you later. Love you. Bye.
Love you too, Sean.
Yes. I love how he always ends it with love you. I love you too, man. It's awesome.
Sean, you sound like you're under the weather there.
He does.
Forgive me if you're not and you're fine, but otherwise, you know, I'll be thinking about you.
Well, I know on Facebook he spent a good amount of the holidays back home in Hawaii, so maybe he picked up some sort of crazy tropical bug.
Oh, like on Brady Bunch, the tiki idol?
Yep. Or maybe, you know, he picked up some sort of like in some kind of crazy zombie virus and now everyone in L.A. needs to watch out.
Well, you know, if you could ask Zell to report what he's doing right now to you and you could relay it to me and we could talk about it on the show.
Well, I'll check in on him.
Okay.
Let me open the chat window again. Make sure Zell is keeping
comfy, put his feet up, have a sandwich or something. All right, we got another voicemail. This one from Rick. Hey, Rick.
Hey, guys.
What's happening? I'm just doing a bit of quad bike riding with one hand, which is pretty treacherous. So
he's gonna this die week's show, a voicemail, is
enjoyed it. It seems like you guys are getting a bit down, not getting much feedback lately, and I know that's like one of the main things that keeps you going is feedback.
You're right, Ray.
And I don't know if I say it enough, but I really do look forward to your show every week. And if it's, well, shit, if it's not there,
shit,
then I'm like, my week isn't complete, if you know what I mean. So just keep it up, and just know that even
sounds
if
like
people are letting you know, they do look forward to it, and on a level, they need it every week. So I love
that's
you
one
guys.
Hoopty
a
quad bike.
I'm going to get back to some fucking quad biking. So that wraps up. Bye, guys. This is Rick from Australia, and I like quad bikes.
He needs a different stunt every week to call in.
Okay, Australian translation, quad bike, ATV?
Yes.
Yeah, four-wheeler.
Four-wheeler, quad bike. Isn't that funny, though? We call it a four-wheeler, but in Australia it's quad bike.
I've heard it called a quad, but never a quad bike.
ATV?
A bike, to me, implies pedals.
What I always hear about those is someone died on them. So be careful, yeah. Rick. Those things are dangerous as hell.
Don't you remember in the 80s there was a huge deal about the three-wheeled ATVs
that they
discontinued them because people would roll them over on themselves and die?
Very dangerous, Rick. So be careful.
And I know Ozzy Osbourne rolled his quad on himself and almost died. Hey, Sharon!
All right, guys, let's check out Entertainment. Thanks for all the voicemails, guys. Awesome. All right, guys, I want to talk about this. I want to go on a rant, Bill. Do you guys mind?
No, go ahead.
Rant
I'll shut up.
Everybody is always bitching about remakes on the internet. That's what it's about. Oh, I can't believe they're remaking this. Can't believe they're remaking that. Can you believe this? How Hollywood keeps turning out Zane bullshit over and over again?
They are creatively bankrupt.
Now, listen to this. I don't really mind most of the time, but when you remake a Sam Peckinpah movie, Straw Dogs, and you put the friggin' Cyclops guy as the Dustin Hoffman character, are you shitting me? Come on!
Kate Boswell is like the most asexual woman ever.
Well, no. She can be cute.
No, she is way too friggin' skinny.
She's cute. It depends
on
what
movie
you're talking about. No,
if you feed her a sandwich, maybe.
I don't know. I don't agree with you there, but
she's too skinny.
But Cyclops is in it, Bill. Back to my part of the conversation. Cyclops is Dustin Hoffman. Let's get the guy who played Iceman in a Rain Man remake. Why don't you?
Now, I don't see Cyclops being kind of a neurotic, nebbish, pushed around.
Well, let me ask
you
this.
To the point of explosive type of character.
Let me ask you a question here.
Now, okay.
Footloose, remaking that. I don't mind. I don't mind
at all.
It's, you know, okay, classic teen movie or whatever. That's fine. But when you take something like Straw Dogs, which is disturbing material to begin with, who is the audience you're making this for? I can understand if you do a remake of a movie that a bunch of teenagers or kids saw, you're making it for the new generation. But you decide you're going to make a Straw Dogs for another generation because all the teenagers that saw it back in the day have grown up now. And now their kids need to go see Straw Dogs?
They cast the guy that's supposed to be the creepy rapist town gang leader as Alexander Skarsgård. This hot, what the hell is he,
Swedish, chiseled...
Yeah.
You know, God, this guy, he's just so freaking handsome.
He's like a freaking Viking.
Am I right here or what? This guy's pretty
good-looking. I'd totally do him.
So, yeah, I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about the reasons for even making it. Usually,
there is no reason.
I mean, I can, like a horror movie or something. There's nothing commercial about Straw Dogs to begin with. And then you're going to remake it.
Yeah, redoing the Nightmare with the Jackie Earl Haley.
Yeah, that is okay.
Who cares?
Yeah, but you know that I can see. Okay, that can market that, and that can make some money. But Straw Dogs, I doubt it made any money when it came out to begin with.
Straw Dogs is a film that I've seen. I know twice. I saw it once on cable, and then decided to buy the Criterion DVD a couple years ago, and watched it once then. This is not a film that you watch and go, man, I can't wait till the next time I get to watch it.
Right.
It's disturbing. It's misogynistic. It's angry. It's a filthy, like, just gritty, nasty
grungy
film.
Yeah, and there's something about – Dustin Hoffman is so good in that movie.
Oh, my God, he is.
When he begins to, like, fight back and outsmart them, and there's a sense of intensity in it.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, like, some Hollywood guy or whoever. I mean, I don't even know who directed it, honestly.
Rod Lurie, who should know better. Because this is a guy that has made some really good political films.
Right. So it's like, he was like, somebody needs to make this for the new generation, the next generation or whatever. I mean, when I was younger, you know, when I come up with movie ideas, I inspired by Straw Dogs. I thought of a teen version of Straw Dogs, like a guy, nebbish dude in high school who wants to impress like the rich kids or whatever. And he throws like a bash while his parents are out of town, and it gets way out of hand where violence, people are trying to get inside his house or whatever. Make a spin on Straw Dogs, like inspired by it, and make your own movie. Don't do Straw Dogs again, you know? It just, that does.
I think that's what they should have called it.
What?
Straw Dogs again.
Yeah. Well, my working title was The Bash, because it was like a party he was trying to throw, and then everything goes wrong and he ends up killing a lot of people.
That's actually a really good idea for a horror film.
I could totally sell this to Dimension Films right now and get Wes Craven on board.
Screw Wes Craven. I want John Gulager.
Oh, Gulager! Okay, now, they've also just announced that Point Break is getting a remake. That I'm not offended by, but there are other better movies to remake, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, that's not exactly a film that I would call, like, canon. Like, oh my god, you can't remake that.
But why? The movie's kind of goofy. It's like Roadhouse. Remake.
Yeah,
remaking.
Well, they did Roadhouse too,
you know.
Yeah, they're just greenlining. I'm gonna go pitch my Bash movie. Maybe that'll. Well, if Straw Dogs doesn't do good, it's like that failed at the box office.
Well, I have a feeling it will fail because people that know of the film won't want to go see a remake of it, and I don't think the advertising has had a particularly large amount of money behind it.
I will definitely see it when it's like on HBO or something, but there's just...
Yeah, morbid curiosity will lead me to it, sure.
There's certain movies you just don't remake. Like, I've heard they've been trying to make The Wild Bunch for a while. Why?
What?
Don't make that. Don't remake that.
Can we just say Sam Peckinpah films are off limits?
Yes! But Footloose, I'll go see that. It's got that Juliana Huff or whatever girl. I don't know.
Yeah,
how to say it.
She's not bad. Yeah. For a while, I thought The Killer Elite was a remake of the later era Peckinpah film, The Killer Elite.
Right.
But I guess it's not. It's based on some other book.
That looks like a lot of fun. And I'll be seeing that.
And quite frankly, the Peckinpah Killer Elite is really kind of boring and dumb.
Yeah, he did some bad movies, but he did some classics too.
Yeah,
The Wild Bunch being one of them, and don't ever remake that.
Yeah, that's just break. That's crazy.
Remaking Straw Dogs, God.
Just, you know, remake the Magnificent Seven another time.
Yeah, who the
you
hell?
Know, if you have to
people
do something like that,
yeah.
Wait till I'm dead.
Straw Dogs, man.
Oh my God!
I'm not going to go to the theater to see Footloose, but I appreciate Craig Brewer as a director. Love Black Snake Moan, Hustle and Flow. He's got talent. I don't understand why he chose Footloose as a film to make.
All I know is it better have Let's Hear for the Boy.
Oh, it has to.
Let's give the boy a hand.
Yeah, and the I Need a Hero.
Din, 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 din. Oh, man. There, Footloose is such
the,
a...
The chicken... what was that? The chicken tractor?
Oh, no, we've done it.
I wonder if Chris Penn's in the new one.
Oh, that's...
Boo.
Poor Chris Penn.
It's been flagged.
Guys, what do you say we get into what's on our TiVo? We talked about a lot of stuff. Let's talk about bad TV shows. What do you say?
Yes.
Yeah. You ready to do that, Bill? Let's do it! Let's... TiVo! I think my new computer is showing the quality of some of our old clips. Like how crappy they are. Now, I want to talk about a show. Steven, you actually told me about this. It's called Superheroes. It was a documentary on HBO. Have you heard of this, Bill? It's crazy. They go out and they find different people in the country who dress up like a superhero and patrol their city.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that Confessions of a Superhero.
Yeah, only these guys like have taser guns and they go out and they work out and they're bulked up and they're ready to beat up drug dealers or whatever.
And some of them
So they think
aren't.
They're kick-ass.
Some of them aren't. Some of them are just...
Well, there's this one guy. His name... I forgot his name. He's like Captain Extreme or something like that.
To the extreme.
The best part about this, Bill, is he starts to talk about his this is my lair. It's an apartment that is so trashed with shit.
He's a hoarding superhero.
Yes.
He's like, I really like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. It's like playing on his TV. I click comics. There's just comics and shit everywhere. And he's got one of those...
Unbagged comics.
Yeah. He's got one of those dummies that you punch.
Oh, so he actually reads them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but this is great as he's talking to this. And then later on when he's patrolling, these girls are like, oh, what are you supposed to be? And they're just beating him down. I love it. And he's just like, oh, yeah. Show us your face. No, I can't. They're just, you know, kind of just being obnoxious.
He wears these, like, big snow goggles.
Oh, and it's even better. He's trying to talk to the camera, and this guy goes, get the F off my property, like yelling in the background.
Wow.
Oh, man, you got to hear this. This is great. This guy, you know, I'm glad he thinks he's superior and stuff, but we're going to hear about him being killed one day. All right, and he's not in shape at all.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, some of these guys are not in shape. Some are in
shape.
He's
like working out when it starts. He's like...
Well, it makes me think of... the movie Super, where the guy, he's mentally ill and decides, okay, he's been tired of being pushed around. His wife leaves him for a drug dealer, and he's like, you know what? I'm gonna fight crime. I've been I've been touched by the finger of God. I can do this. You know, and he runs around with a friggin' pipe wrench,
yep,
bashing the shit out of people.
And that's what this guy's decided to do, Bill. Let's check it out.
I do not have any superpowers. Having superpowers does not necessarily make you a superhero. I think it's having super motivation and doing super deeds. I think that's what makes you a superhero.
Power Rangers, Mystic Force!
Welcome to the Extreme Cave. This is my residence, my apartment. I do call it the Extreme Cave.
The extremely pathetic cave.
Where I live, but it's also where I operate the Extreme Justice League, where I do my research.
The Extreme Justice League of himself?
Very much in the comic books. I collect comic books, read them, stare at them. They are my inspiration. Obviously, I'm very much into Power Rangers. Yep. Yeah, they're going to morph. You can go with some of my book collection.
Are they not called the Mighty
Morphin?
Shots,
ambushes, and other lessons.
Listen,
One Strike
books.
Stopping Power, California Penal Code, The Criminal Law Handbook, World's Deadliest Fighting Secrets, The Brutal Art of Ripping, Poking, and Pressing Vital Targets.
I gotta pick that one up.
Yeah, it sounds
this
like a bestseller.
This is a bob, or a body opponent bag. It's used by a lot of different martial artists, martial arts schools. Start off with a palm strike to the nose, followed up by eye gouge, and then put in an elbow technique to his temple, another elbow technique, and then come in here, and then boom! I can even demonstrate some of my techniques from my super extreme death metal fighting system. Oh man, he's got my arms, maybe he's punching me, he's can headbutt me, I gotta try to protect my face, and then boom, I can just try to reach for his eyes and just scoop him out with my thumb, and then maybe the other one, and then maybe I can just grab, like, just pretty much dig my thumbs into his eyes. Here's one of my extreme wrestling flyers. As you can see, I like to do it like where it's a little bit more crude, more raw. The idea is so it can grab someone's attention. They might say, wow, this looks like shit. Let me take a look. Well, what's all this? And they read it, and now they realize, whoa, wow, there's a missing person. There's a sexual predator on loose.
I think it's him.
Chula Vista Groper, he started attacking last year. In one instance,
Mr. Roper
bit one of the victims on her buttocks. I hope to get his face out more into the public so people will be aware that this guy's out there.
I can't do it. I understand. Can I take a picture of you?
Well, if there was
real.
A crime that happened, out here just trying to keep people safe. There was a sexual assault here last night.
Can I see your eyes?
Actually, I have to keep my eyes concealed.
That's weird.
Okay, you guys be safe out there walking. Anyways, right now the police are pretty much watching me with a microscope. What the officer told me, I was asking him about the sexual assault that took place last night. He stated that it was actually a long...
Hey, get the fuck off our property right now. All police, get the fuck off our property.
Thanks for saying please. Lately, I've been teaming up with Vigilante Spider.
My name is Vigilante Spider. I started out in Las Vegas, Nevada. I now patrol most of North County. Just like any other day, you walk downstairs, you have breakfast, you say hello to your girlfriend, you go to work,
which happens
you,
to be a blow-up
say hi to your friends at work, and then you go home after all the monotony is done, and you sleep.
So you have a girlfriend?
Well, it was just metaphorically speaking.
Wow.
It really is. The whole time you just keep going, wow.
Yeah, man, this whole movie.
There is not a single person on that where I'm like, yeah, that person could really make a difference. They're like, you people are all nuts.
I really need to see this.
You do. They're all nuts.
They're all mentally ill, obviously.
There's this one guy.
The old guy that has the gray, looks like duct tape across his eye.
Oh, yeah. There's this older superhero guy, and he's like, it's funny when
he's
he walks
out
by
of
these,
shape, but he run to his van
to get some supplies,
beer.
And it's like a tall boy beer.
He's
drinking beer out of
I need my utility belt. And covered in tall boys.
It's so
no,
good.
He says, I need a refreshment. It get thirsty out here on patrol.
And he's all sweaty,
he's,
too.
He's like, he cracks up and goes, there's nothing wrong with a beer as long as you're of age.
Yeah.
Now, this was an HBO documentary.
Right.
Okay, do you think it's on HBO On Demand?
Probably.
Okay, I got to see this.
I caught like the last 10 minutes of it. I go, I got to see the rest of this.
I have to see. I hate to exploit the mentally ill, but sometimes it's just too damn funny to miss.
Yeah, they're a little, I'm going to say they're all mentally ill. I can understand the idea. You read comics and stuff, but it's like, you're in a fantasy world that you're doing something dangerous. Can you imagine, like, dressing up in a suit and going confronting drug dealers in the park? You could get stabbed or something.
Well, those ones were doing it in New York.
Right. There is these group of, they're all tatted and had piercings and stuff and wore, like, helmets. Those people were scary. I thought they were nuts.
Yeah, they look like goth superheroes.
Wow.
Yeah, this is scary.
Their theme music is all industrial.
Yeah, the skinny puppy, something like this, even.
Emaciated dogs.
Right. Now, Bill, let's talk about Big Brother, because Big Brother is now over.
Thank God.
It's the nightmare is over. And let's go ahead and just I was really interested in what Dick would say about his daughter Danielle's play.
Oh, my God. She was just, you know, I just have to say that on the show itself, she's a gorgeous girl, beautiful. But, wow, what an arrogant bitch. Just her attitude is terrible.
She came off kind of shitty, I thought.
Kinda. I mean, she was full on. It was just this terrible prissiness. It's like, honey, you know, you're pretty and all, but you're not that friggin' special.
And I could kind of see what Dick's problem is with her, is that she kind of drives him nuts, I think.
I don't see how anybody – I think he probably gets driven crazy by the fact of, like, how did she end up like this?
Right. And I thought it was pretty – you know, say what you will about Rachel. Let's go ahead and say this. Rachel won.
Yeah.
Crazy Rachel. Red hair. But she did do a lot to get where she was, and everyone hated her the whole time. So it's pretty shocking.
She won when she needed to win.
Yeah, it's pretty shocking that she got as far as she did, I thought.
Oh, right. Definitely. They tried to get her out right away, and didn't work.
Yeah, totally. So congratulations to her. And let's go ahead and hear this clip of – I've got all my icons in place now, Bill, as we were talking.
Oh, Buki.
Buki. And I do think one day Brendan will probably kill her, strangle her with a belt or something.
Yeah, he'll be on really TMZ. Sad.
It'll be really sad, but, you know.
I don't know about that.
All right, let's check this out, Big Brother!
I'm going to start with you, Evil Dick.
All right, Julie, I'm ready.
You only got to play this game for 6 days before you had to leave unexpectedly. But in that short amount of time, you formed the Veterans Alliance, and it appeared to be like a strong alliance. What do you have to say about that group now?
Woulda, shoulda, coulda been the best alliance that has ever played the game. Really should have. If they stuck together, but my lovely daughter blew it up with an atomic bomb, and there it went.
You think Danielle single-handedly destroyed the Veteran Alliance that you worked so hard to form?
Absolutely. There's no question whatsoever.
Would you agree with that, Danielle?
Absolutely.
What do you have to say for yourself?
Okay. Well, here's what I say. Is the biggest problem people make in this game is making alliances day one or day two. When we came in the house, we were kind of forced into that situation. And then 2 weeks later, I'm like, I don't want to work with these people. There's all my friends over there. I wanted to work with the people that I actually cared about and had relationships with. And, you know, I did what I had to do. It got me sitting here, but I have really great friendships that I made in this game, and I know that I made big moves, so.
One of the things you felt you had to do, Danielle, was getting rid of Jeff. I want to go back to your dad. Was that a smart move, done move? What do you think about that move?
If you want me to say dumb move about my daughter right in front of her here, I talk behind her back, not in front of her. No, it was kind of, and I hate to say this, but it was really kind of typical in playing too hard, too fast, where if she would have waited, and eventually the newbies were going to win in HOH, and that's when you get into their ear, like she could have had this secret alliance with Kalia and Portia or whoever, and you let them do the dirty work. And somebody was going to, when we first got together, I said, we're not going to run 4 weeks straight. We're going to probably more than likely lose one along the way. They're going to win in HOH, and one of us is going to go by the wayside. And it's like with Danielle, just don't let it be one of us.
You're up first.
Well, it's going to be a very hard decision. Rachel, because of you, I've had to spend about 5 weeks in the jury house. And have not got to play this game too much. But Julie asked me one thing when I was evicted. She asked me why I left you in the game. Why did I think you were going to go further? And I think you've definitely shown that you did go further. So, baby, I'm proud of you. And no matter what happens tonight, I love you with all my heart.
Thank you, Brendan. Danielle, you're up.
I'm sure she won't say anything.
Hey.
No. Why would she say anything nasty?
I adore you. I'm very proud of you. And, Rachel, you're lucky that this is not a personality contest.
Jeff, you're up.
I don't have anything cute to say. This is a funny game, this Big Brother, and thank you up there.
Congratulations to you both for getting here.
Adam, you're up.
Rachel, your best move is getting rid of me. I would have won this game. I got four answers right in that final HOH. If I didn't throw my goggles and didn't smoke, I would have won this game. Half million would be mine. Sorry, baby. Next time I come back for All-Stars, I'm winning this game.
That was funny when he was doing that one HOH, and he was like, oh, these goggles, and he took them and just threw them. And then he was like, I need those goggles. Damn it. And he had to, like, climb out of the water, run down the stairs, run. He's like, where the hell are they? It's like, was the dumbest thing to do is just throw them.
He's really not too bright. He's a nice guy. He's just not bright.
The funniest thing about this show every year when they are sitting in the jury house and they're like, who played harder? Who earned the right? I always think it's ridiculous.
They're all so damn bitter.
Yeah.
And everyone knows who played the game. You don't need to sit there and rehash it, like, for our approval.
And when they were talking about how, I think it was Shelley, she goes, well, Rachel said a lot of hurtful things to a lot of people. Actually, I don't think she did. She just
No, she didn't.
She's an annoying person, but other people would say mean shit to her because she's just a punching bag that you take all your frustrations out of. So I thought that was
there were one or two times where she might have said something nasty, but it was only because she was the punching bag earlier in the season, where somebody said to her, like, you are an ugly person on the inside.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, come on. What an awful thing to say to someone, even if you're not a fan of theirs.
Yeah, when what was that girl, Cassie?
Yeah.
Who I forgot of how much of a hick she was until they were like, Cassie, what do you think? She's like, well, golly, I sure am glad to be back on here.
Well, hold on. Let me take this piece of weed out of my mouth.
Yeah, it's like, oh, my God, freaking hillbilly. And Shelley is just a scary woman. That's all
she needs to lay off the cigarettes in the sun. They're going to be able to tan her hide and make it into a couch.
Wow. It's like, wow, holy shit. Good times.
Nah, I just bought body bags.
What? All right, Bill, let's talk about Hell's Kitchen, huh? One cool thing they did on Hell's Kitchen, Bill. I've been talking about this for a while. When are they going to have Hell's Kitchen All-Stars, Steven? Bring back all those fantastic contestants.
High-quality chefs. Bill, chef-testants.
Do you remember, like, K-Grease that season? Hot dogs are slamming.
Hot dogs slamming.
Hell yeah, hot dogs be slamming. I need that guy. Just, you know, I think
Robot Dave.
I think this is a hint they're going to do this, Bill, because they bring back some old contestants. Let's check it out.
Everybody
in the dying room with their jackets on.
Urgently.
Yes, Chef.
On Bravo.
Downstairs to the dining room urgently. Oh, my God. What the hell is going on?
What the shit is going on?
Listen carefully. Tomorrow night, you will be in one kitchen together. But there will be another team inside the Red Kitchen. They, too, have had the honor of wearing a black jacket.
Awesome. Oh, my God.
And I want you to meet your opponent right now, from Hell's Kitchen 5.
You want to hear something, dude? Owls hook circles around you. You couldn't cook my...
Say hello to Ben.
I used to have a crush on Ben, so I recognize Ben. I'm looking at him like I'm blushing.
Our next chef, from Hell's Kitchen 6.
I'm on my way back into the kitchen, chef.
Let's go.
I am a fighter.
Get off my station, please.
Oh, yeah, Miss Sister. Tennille, yo!
What? Whoopi Goldberg!
I remember Tennille. She's a strong woman. She's tough as nails.
Tennille,
I want to be the tiger.
And now, from Hell's Kitchen 8.
How's my size?
You need... I got you.
I just need you to say I'm ready.
Well done, Trevor.
Let's go!
Trev.
Good old Trev.
Now, from Hell's Kitchen 8.
What happened to your eyebrows? Did you sing them off?
I don't catch no.
Have the eyebrows.
Scallops cooked perfectly. Come back to me.
I will, Chef.
Jillian.
Okay.
And last, brace yourselves.
This is crazy.
From Hell's Kitchen 6.
Don't touch me, bro.
Bitch, move over. Let me put this food out.
Now, let's go.
You're going to love it, brother. You're going to love it. My name's Van, by the way.
Yeah, baby. Game time.
Game time. Insane.
Woo! I was hoping his head would explode.
Great to see you all.
He looks like he's about to, doesn't he? Mean that.
Roid rage or something?
Trust me.
Yeah.
Yep.
They are here to kick your ass.
They're not.
Yeah! Yeah!
Wow. They're not here to just say hi.
Did you guys bring your sunglasses? Because we're about to shine.
Nah, I just bought body bags.
See what happens tomorrow night. Game on.
I'm going to kill your ass.
I'm going to shift you on sides.
Bitch, at least I kill you.
Don't go to the showers.
That girl Elise, oh my God. Here's a good example. When after this, Chef Ramsay sends them to come up with their own menu, and she just turns everything into such a frustrating mess. What's that one guy who kind of looks dopey? He's like, ah! He just kind of like screams like he's turning into the Hulk or something.
Yeah, that's dopey.
Dopey bastard.
Will.
There's
Will.
Paul, yeah, Will. And he's just like,
He's obviously balding because he never doesn't have his hat on.
Yeah. All right, let's check this out. Elise drives me nuts.
What about lemon parmesan risotto?
With what garnish for it?
Sounds disgusting.
Do a lemon thyme risotto with a mushroom, yeah.
How about spaghetti
and meatballs?
I'm putting
on the lemon parmesan risotto.
Elise, write lemon thyme risotto because it's obviously going to have parmesan cheese. No questions.
You.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Like, all right, take it easy.
It's man. Not all what you want. What about my deal with tuna tartare?
I'll do tuna tartare.
I can do tuna tartare.
Tuna tartare.
All right, tuna tartare with...
Say it one more time.
Do like a wasabi avocado.
Yeah.
Look, if I feel like everybody's ideas ain't being considered, then we're going to start nixing ideas because no person here is going to dominate. This is a team effort.
We're making tuna tartare.
You are. Everything that you guys say, I notice you try to stick with. Anything that we're saying,
tartare.
You don't want.
You don't want tuna tartare?
Don't you can't say that at all, girl. You got your risotto up on
the... No, that's his risotto. I said lemon parm. I didn't say thyme.
Okay. What do you guys think of that wasabi crusted
nope,
tuna?
I don't like it.
I think the tuna tartare idea was a good idea.
I do too.
You
tuna
brought
tartare.
It up. You brought
I
up
said
tuna,
tuna tartare, and he completely dominated everything that
he
was in it. I didn't even get to finish my
avocado.
Thought.
So finish your thought. Tuna tartare.
What's the point?
Right?
What's the
because
point?
Because we're here to listen. If,
no, you're not
girl,
listening, because I've thrown out so many
I'm
ideas and y'all are saying
you.
No.
You know what?
I'm
we need to chill right now. Seriously? We all just need to chill.
At least what kind of tartare?
It's not Will's
menu. You know what?
Shut up!
Elise,
I don't care how
you
much
need
you
to
I'm going to say what I want to
we
say.
We need
you're
to
not
get this
mother.
Going.
We are.
God, not my
Elise
mother.
Is so confrontational.
I'm not cooking Will's menu.
You
I'm
guys
not
all need to settle down.
This is not red team, blue team.
No!
Team.
I'm sick of
this. Me too.
This is exactly what I'm saying.
Hulk smash!
Coming over here. You had to have been the problem.
Whatever.
You had to have been the problem.
I'm
the
not
red
the problem
because
I'm still here.
But my reason, my
Elise,
reason.
No, you're trying to overstep and.
I'm not overstepping.
You came out here with a
hey,
mission
you know
been writing for a
hey,
week.
Give me the mark.
No.
Just write Alicia's menu on top.
No.
You do what
no,
you want
to
do.
Write blue team menu.
If you want to make the whole menu, go ahead. But I'm going to vote you out if we lose.
I'm done. I'm done. I'm not dealing with this. I'm done. I'm going to go home right now.
So?
Will.
So?
Oh,
she's so frustrated.
Please stop the dramatics, Jennifer.
Just,
it's
oh
annoying.
My God.
Oh, please.
God.
Oh, please. Oh, please.
This is so
no, please. Will.
Some bullshit.
It's
oh, my God.
Bye-bye.
Ah!
And I can't believe she's still there.
It's only because of entertainment value. She's not entertaining. She's driving them all crazy. And I hate that, like, when you're trying to tell somebody something, they just go, whatever. And you're just like, wrap a garrote around her.
What's shocking to me is that she's there playing Survivor, not cooking.
Yeah.
Like, she's trying, because you can, the blatant manipulation in that clip where she saw her chance to turn it into an argument was just hilarious. She's egging these people on.
And then,
she might
like,
be a goddamn genius.
And then, like, in the kitchen, Gordon's like, oh, not again. Like, they're all fighting again. And just
yeah, and she couldn't. She was the one that couldn't. I don't know if. Was it this week or last week? She couldn't cook that expensive salmon.
Yeah.
The White King salmon. She
right.
must have ruined thousands of dollars.
She did this thing where she said that it was her and the other girl. And she was like, when Chef Ramsay asks who's the better cook, you say me and we'll get rid of her. And the thing I didn't understand about that is the task they did where they had to cook some meals. What's the other girl's name?
Jennifer.
Jennifer was the runner-up. It was Paul. He won, and then Jennifer was the second best. Elisa's meal sucked. It was horrible, whatever she made. And so then Gordon asked them, who do you think is the better cook? And they all picked Elise, which didn't make any sense because...
They are thinking about themselves. Again, they're playing Survivor because they know Elise is a shit cook.
Yeah.
None of them could win against Jennifer. Well, they might be able to win against Jennifer, but it's going to be harder. Yeah. So you keep one of the weakest people it's easier for you to win.
Because it's going to come down to Paul and Will, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's good to me. So I've got one more clip here. This is when Paul and Will, they go on a nice restaurant date. And they meet this hot Top Chef, Bill.
The moment she walked out, I was like, hey, it's the girl from Top Chef.
Yeah.
Amanda.
And then... Gordon Ramsay throws them all out of the kitchen, and the goofy rock and roll guy, Tommy, he wants to have a word with Chef Ramsay about that. It's pretty funny.
Tommy's what you might refer to as a moron.
He really is. Let's check this out.
Hey, good morning.
Morning, Chef.
Good morning.
Listen carefully. Chefs become heroes when they're able to take an ingredient and turn it into something with incredible value, right?
Chef.
First,
when they make a delicious hero,
if you were lucky enough to have a wild white Alaskan salmon fall from the sky, imagine.
Holy
skid the out of it. I thought I was going to poop myself.
Oh my god.
What?
Chef Ramsay can make fish fall from the sky. That's all I'm going to say.
Are you allowed to do that, Bill? Shit yourself in a kitchen?
I think so. It's artistic.
This salmon costs $450.
That's ridiculous.
From this one salmon, 30 portions, and I could make a stunning dish like this. A dish like that, at a minimum of $40 per portion times 30, that is a profit of $750.
This plus this plus this equals this. Hold on!
After their exhilarating tour of Los Angeles with Chef Ramsay,
our mandate begins.
Paul and Tommy settle in for a private lunch with the executive chef of Water Grill.
Hello, Chef.
Hey, guys.
I'm like, wow, Chef Amanda, so hot.
Nice porn music.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So, BLT in New York, that's the grand prize, right?
Yeah, that's my next job.
Okay.
Oh, my God, I got a place for you to sit right here on my lap.
So do you guys have any questions? Is there any, like, advice that I can give you? Or
you want to come fly in my helicopter?
Oh, my God.
She's an attractive young chef, and Paulie was trying to flirt a little bit and, you know, run his game in his pink shirt.
What happens after this?
Oh, we have service tonight.
What happens at dinner service?
Usually I'm berated, belittled, and end up feeling like an inexperienced hack by the end of the evening.
So what are you doing later?
We met the chef there. Her name's Amanda. Oh, my God. Smoking hot. Sitting down to a nice lunch. It was amazing.
I'm the jealous wife. I was very upset. But, you know, Paul's not my husband yet. So, you know, you can look. Just get touched.
Alicia, honey, you're scary.
She's fine.
After dinner service so disastrous that three of the final five chefs were kicked out of the kitchen.
Leave me alone, please.
A brave Tommy has a question for Chef Ramsay.
Why did you send me out of the kitchen? I wanted to be back in it with my team. I should not have had to leave tonight, and I could have held it down with any stick. I'm so mad.
Off, Tommy.
I'll stick your head in that oven, and I'll talk to you through the gas burner.
Do it.
Do it.
Please don't
do it.
Any more salt in the wound.
I wanted Gordon to go grab him, shove him in. Like, holy shit, he's really going to do it. Oh, my God.
He's so stupid.
He really is.
Do it, dude. What else does he have to say? Get the F out of the kitchen.
It's like, why did you throw me out? It's because you suck. That's why, and you're going to go in the next episode.
I don't know if it was the selective editing, but it looked like that Amanda was macking on Tommy.
I know. She was like, what are you doing later?
It's
like,
maybe she likes the rock and roll tattoo across his forehead.
Yeah, that's pretty cool stuff, huh?
Rock and roll!
I know, like, next week is the finale. Are they doing... Did you notice Big Brother, they They used to draw it out, like two people would be left for like a week.
Yeah.
But now they're like, no, let's end it now. We got three people.
And it's because there's nothing there.
Yeah, and it's like Hell's Kitchen. They've still got four people, and they're like, no, the finale's next week. Yeah, we're not going to wait till there's just two.
We'll run a two-hour show. And
I just can't wait till Elisa's gone. That'll be fun. That'll be awesome.
But then it'll actually be a cooking show.
Now, Bill, I want to talk about one more show, and then we're going to take a very long break. No, I'm kidding. It'll be a regular size break, but I really got to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, same here. I'm doing the pee-pee dance.
But we're going to talk about Top Chef Just Desserts Masters. I almost said Top Chef Masters.
Top Chef Master Dessert New York.
People type stuff. And what was cool is this week it was all about Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Fantastic movie.
One of my favorites.
I think, yeah, one of my favorites too, Steven. I believe it's one of yours. I always cry during the Cheer Up Charlie song. And they surprised the chef testants with the movie theater. Oh, you know what was really stupid, Bill? This one guy's like, everybody's getting hot dogs and popcorn and candy. I'm not opening mine because I think it's for some kind of cooking task. So he's going to save.
We've seen that before, though.
I just thought it was funny. He's like,
eat
your
popcorn. Funny. That is funny. Remember they put him on a ferry, like the Staten Island Ferry
right,
or something?
Right, yeah, I do remember that. I just thought it's funny because I just thought, no, that's not what it's going to be.
Yeah, it's Top Chef Just Desserts. Make a dessert out of a hot dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here we go. They're going to watch Willy Wonka, and they have a special surprise, Bill.
We did it. We're actually going in.
We're
going
to see the greatest of them all, Mr. Willy Wonka.
Movie starts and it's Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and I die. I love that movie. I love chocolate. I love candy. I love adventure. It's awesome.
Well, hell, who doesn't?
Hurry up, Violet.
This way, Grandpa.
Violet, you're turning violet, Violet.
I will forever remember the scene when the kids walk in and everything in front of them is edible. And even to this day, I would still be really stoked if I could do that.
I love this movie.
Now.
For some odd reason, there's a lady next to me, and she's just like amazement that I know the words to the movie. I'm really in awe right now.
Hi, chefs.
Hi, Gail.
Time to throw up now.
All right, bring it on.
What is it?
I'm not sure I'm ready.
I'm pretty sure that all of us at some point in our lives have dreamed of living in the wonderful world of Wonka. Chefs, today you're going to get that chance to make the dream a reality. To help explain further, I'd like to bring out four very special guests. Please come up.
Deep Roy, everybody.
Deep Roy. Up to the front of the line. And I'm like, what the hell is going on right about now? Salt was sitting right next to me.
Charlie!
Oh, my God!
Charlie!
Oh, my God!
Wow.
Chefs, please welcome the original cast of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Listen closely to Craig in the background. It's hilarious.
I've got goosebumps everywhere.
All of us just lose our minds. I can't even believe that Charlie Bucket is standing in front of me. I mean, that's crazy.
You know, and we can make little plaques that are like, peel me or dig me up, you know?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it's Alice in Wonderland?
I'm just bursting with ideas.
All right, guys. Nice plan.
Everyone wants to do this in their life as a pastry chef. And if you don't, you're silly.
I actually have a cupcake that I sell in my business called the Veruca Salt.
I don't want to see you standing in front of the judges who asked you for pure imagination. You gave me a cupcake. Can you do it to make it look like a wall?
Chris is pushing his idea on me, and he's just like, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this. Well, it's a little annoying.
Here's Willy Wonka, and why is there a garden?
Why are we 86ing the garden thing that I said 8 hours ago?
Yeah, that's tough, man.
What Chris says doesn't necessarily go. You have to let people do things. You can't control people. That's not what it's about. So I have to stand up for myself, or else I'm never going to prove myself here.
Yeah.
That guy, he was like, it was his idea to, like, I'm going to build a chocolate waterfall, and it was just like a spout coming down.
Yeah, it wasn't a waterfall. It looked like a rock with a mud coming out of it.
I must have missed it, but did they somehow agree that he wouldn't have to be judged because he was doing the setting up? Because he never went to the main part. He just sat in the room the whole time.
No, I don't know. I just know that they said they wanted to make sure no one in the creative part goes home.
Right.
I just
that guy got on my nerves, and I can't wait for him to go home. I'm glad Sally didn't get eliminated because her thing was really bad with the wheelbarrow and the stuff in the dirt or whatever.
Yeah, where you had to actually dip the stuff down into this dirt concoction.
And Craig's gummy bears did not look appetizing.
Oh my god, it looked grainy and just gross.
I thought it was funny they would show like they had a bunch of kids. They go out and you'd see kids kind of go, "I don't like it," you know, and hand it off to their parents or whatever.
They would like there was somebody that. Were they eating some sort of like pedophore or something, and the kid takes a bite and then hands it right off to his parent, or the it's green like, donuts?
Yeah, that was really funny. I'm enjoying Top Chef just Desserts. It seems a lot less catty than the first season. Remember, everyone hated each other and was always fighting, and it was like
I like watching it for the ideas and the you know it's cool to see the creative side of food.
Right, it is. And poor Craig, he got eliminated.
Craigie and that other girl. I don't even remember what the hell she did, but I know it wasn't the worst thing.
She did green donuts on PVC pipe. That was really bad.
Yeah, and they didn't put anything over the PVC pipe. So
yeah.
As the donuts went away, it was just this PVC pipe.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, that
goosebumps everywhere.
Instead of covering it with, like, foil or something to kind of.
I'm going to miss Craigie.
I am, too. That weird-voiced person.
He was so clueless, and even Sally was trying to help him with his gummy bears. And
It was obvious he was out of his league with the whole show, I thought.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But have I told you guys about my martial arts system?
Super extreme death metal fighting system.
Super extreme death metal fighting
system. Is it any particular death metal band?
Yeah, well, you know, it's just something you want to...
Charred Walls of the Damned.
That's the fighting system. That's the secret of it, you know. I can't tell you which death metal band.
Is it just like a mosh?
I don't think it's music. I think it's his fighting system. All right, guys.
I thought maybe he, like, danced and made the criminals run away.
I want to see that guy in his own movie. He kicks some ass. All right, guys, let's take a break, and we'll be right back. Have a good one. Or something.
Leave me alone, please.
If I take one bowl of Cap'n Crunch's peanut butter cereal, part of this balanced breakfast, and I add another bowl of Cap'n Crunch's peanut butter cereal, what have I got?
A happy elephant!
That sums it up.
I got guinea pigs, horses, elephants!
Cap'n Crunch cereal brings you three fun new animal stamp albums.
Yeah. 40 miles per hour.
There's one Smedley Zoo Pals or CB's Farm Animals or Captain's House Pets in each specially marked box of Cap'n Crunch.
Now, it's here. The excitement, the adventure of a new force at breakfast.
We'll call them C-3POs.
New C-3PO cereal from Kellogg's. Twin rings fuse together for two crunches in every double O. A delicious part of this nutritious breakfast. Now you can experience the taste of Kellogg's C-3POs. A crunchy new force at breakfast.
May the force be with you.
Stop, evildoers. Introducing Super Stretching Superhero Stretch Armstrong. Yes, Stretch Armstrong. Now stretching fun farther than ever before. He bends, he stretches, even ties and knots, but always returns to his original shape.
How'd he do that?
He's been doing that since he was a kid. Stretch Armstrong from Cap Toys. Who else?
problem?
The new machine is acting up. Top bars are bigger.
They are bigger.
What do you suggest?
As your immediate supervisor, I needn't tell you the procedure.
Call the boss.
That's correct.
You can only know how much he likes that machine.
It's his baby.
Rules are rules.
Call the boss.
Correct.
You know, he dedicated that machine to his mother.
I think you were on vacation.
He loves it very much.
Any suggestions?
Introducing bigger mounds and bigger Almond Joy. The chocolate's bigger, the coconut's bigger, everything's bigger.
A presidential hopeful reveals his cabinet.
My cabinet will be filled with honesty, integrity, and real satisfaction. Nine lives. What would you expect from a finicky president?
Vote Nine Lives, a more satisfying choice.
From Tonka, each sold separately. There's the new 4x4 Power Wagon with powerful four-wheel drive, the Turbo Racer with racy chrome trim, and the Scrambler Cycle, scrambling to win.
Tonka Clutch Poppers are always revving, always revving, always revving to go!
Clutch Poppers, Turbo Racer, Scrambler Cycle, and new 4x4 Power Wagon, each sold separately from Tonka.
You can get a taste of pizza type theater with Chuck E. Cheese. Food and games and all kinds of leisure. For a taste of pizza type theater, you can smile America, smile America.
Smile,
smile,
smile.
You can smile America with Chuck E. Cheese.
The collection, each in really cute outfits. You can collect them one at a time, or in sets. And pretend to play ball with Simon.
But you know what's best about him?
They're funny little faces. The Chipmunk Collectibles, Alvin, Simon, and Theodore, sold separately or in sets for free. New from Ideal.
A giant castle! With a giant, giant. Let's go, Sue.
Time for a Cheerios breakfast, kids.
Yeah, Cheerios is a powerful part of this balanced breakfast.
You got gold with Cheerios. Energy-os that help you grow. You got gold, gold, power with power. Coming on strong with Cheerios. You'll feel the word Cheerios.
A Cheerios breakfast.
You work on the hard to have some fun and yum it up with a new kind of bubble yum. Lemon and lime at the same time, two flavors in one. Strawberry and banana combined in one bubble yum. You're working hard, now have some fun. Yum it up with bubble yum.
I love to yum it up.
Two flavors in one, new luscious lime and banana berry split.
Yum it up with bubble yum.
To keep myself sparkling clean and fresh. Now, if you want all-day freshness, there's this concentrated cleaner called Blue. Just pop Blue in the tank, and every time I flush, I get a Blue detergent rinse that helps clean and deodorize me for up to a month. The tablet dissolves, so there's no dripping mess to remove, and my fingers don't get stained. I tell you, Blue makes me feel brand new. Try concentrated Blue. It's the simplest bowl cleaner yet.
The big league. When you make a perfect climb,
you're in the big league.
When you keep the dream alive,
you're in the big league.
When you pluck a shot or two,
you're in the big league. You're in the Big League Chew.
Big League Chew. Man's size wads of great tasting shredded bubble gum stuffed into a giant Stay Fresh pouch for Big League flavor and Big League bubbles. It's Big League Chew.
You're in the Big League. You're in the Big League Chew.
Discover a world beyond your wildest dreams. Discover Atari. Pioneers in coin video games like Centipede, Tempest, the asteroids that challenge you, excite you, test you like never before. Discover the Atari that opened your eyes to the world's most popular home video games like Space Invaders, Missile Command, and Warlords. Discover the Atari that brought you a home computer truly designed for the home. Sophisticated for advanced needs, yet simple enough for your child to use. Compose music. Play advanced games. Manage your finances. All at the touch of a button. Discover Atari.
Atari!
And discover how far you can go.
Peter, do we ever cover steak with ketchup? Hamburger is steak, chop steak, so we use...
A1 steak sauce.
It makes hamburgers taste like...
steak burgers.
Discover it with A1.
I'm gonna have me some fun.
I thought I was gonna poop myself.
Yeah, good to know there. All right, Bill, are you back, sir? Hello, sir. Bill, are you back? Hello? Bill?
Yeah, hello?
Oh.
Sorry. I was taking my time because I had a cup of hot cider and I didn't want to spill it on me or the carpet.
Did you ever hear the tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise?
Yeah, you told me once. I don't want to hear it again.
It's a Sith legend.
I said
Darth
no.
Shut up, Palpatine. No one wants to hear about that shit.
Kill him now.
No!
Crazy old bastard. Think you're some kind of Jedi?
You threatening me, Jedi?
No. Jedi!
Bill, let's talk about alphas, huh?
I really enjoy that show.
I like alphas. Love, or as I call it, alfalfas. I love alfalfas. I want to do a poster, like all the characters, and they all have that little stick up of hair.
Yeah.
Alfalfas. And the same letterhead and everything, but I'm not fancy with Photoshop or anything, so I just thought of it in my brain and I amused myself.
I've tried to work with Photoshop, and you really don't have to be that creative to work with it because so many of the tools are there, but you've got to have vision, and I lack vision.
It's treason, then.
No, it's not treason, it's vision.
Does he know what treason means? I don't think
no, he has no idea. All he knows is that he likes it whenever he gets a nice sponge bath after a long day's of work.
Oh, yeah, me too. Now, Bill...
Have I ever told you about the sponge bath?
Oh, dear, I don't want to know about that. Now, let's talk about alphas and... What's cool is they keep introducing people with interesting powers. Like, we've got Brent Spiner this week. Mm-hmm. Data, right?
Data.
One is my name.
The other is not.
And he's got a cool power, Bill, when you find out that he's blind.
Yes, he's Daredevil.
And he sees everything through sonar. He's like a dolphin, but a dolphin who can... Can dolphins do this where they cause, like, earthquakes and stuff in a building?
Echo the Dolphin could. God, I hated those games.
I always thought they... I never played them, but weren't they visually stunning?
For 16-bit era, yeah. But they always confused the hell... I had no idea what the hell to do. I owned it. I owned it on Sega CD, and I had no idea what to do.
Do it.
No.
Okay.
He wants to tell everybody what to do.
He's
wants
so
to tell his stories. He's like the old annoying uncle.
He really is. He's a dick. Can we just say that he's a dick?
Palpatine is a dick.
You're a dick, Palpatine. Dickhead.
Watch your stupid water ballet,
now,
asshole.
Bill, let's talk about how there's a girl she's got a cool power where she's invisible, right? When I first realized that there's someone invisible, you're like, oh, that's someone who's invisible because the door stops in the elevator. But she's not like invisible, like she's not like she doesn't, her body doesn't disappear. It's just she it somehow hides in the blind spots of people, which I don't understand how that works.
That's so cool.
But one thing I was thinking about, because here on this clip, Gary talks about their cameras are messed up, but he's sees a camera. There's a camera pointed at the building from outside. But I was thinking, if you held up your cell phone in camera mode, she couldn't hide from that, could she? Like,
no.
If you had your iPhone on camera and you're just like
Gary's
looking,
damn genius.
You could see her, wouldn't you? Because she can't hide from a camera's blind spot, could she? Because it's got to be chemical or something. I don't know, but let's check this out, guys. I just got a lot of questions.
You need to let me out. I'm the only one who can keep us alive.
Don't need to hear that. I don't trust that guy for a second.
The guy searched the entire office again. Still no Rachel. And we got nothing to go on except what Kern is saying.
I can't wait for Clay to show up and get this guy out of here.
No, not until we find Rachel.
Yeah, I think we should at least consider what Kern is saying. An intruder would certainly explain some of the strange things that have been happening here.
I mean, Doc, earlier today, and I thought I was imagining something, right? But I felt that someone was watching me. I turned around, and there was no one there.
Exactly, Bill. That is called proprioception. It's one of the ways we have of processing the million bits of information in our environment around us. Like you said, if you find yourself in a room full of people, you sense something, then you feel compelled to turn around, and they're looking right at you. That's our proprioception at work.
So our proprioception says someone's here, but our eyes say there isn't.
Yes, well, unlike Rachel, when we're looking for something, we rely on our vision. But vision can be deceptive. How many dots do you see?
Two.
All right, now hold this with
your
right hand.
I used to do this in school.
All right, close your left eye.
Showing him with the blind
spot. Look at this dot and move the paper slowly towards you.
One of the dots just disappeared.
Into your blind spot. You've all heard of one. We all have one. It's a hole or gap in our visual landscape, which exists because of the way our brains are wired. And we might be dealing with an alpha who can exploit this phenomenon.
Let's say that there is an alpha here, right? That does it. How do they get into that gap?
Bill, I don't know. They might be able to send a signal that swells the optic nerves, thereby expanding collectively the blind spot and move into it so nobody can see them.
I still don't buy it. I mean, there's cameras everywhere. Exactly. An alpha might be able to mess with our brains, but how does he get past the
cameras are glitched. Someone's made them glitchy. There's drop frames and time lag.
Is it enough to get around without being seen?
Yeah. Yeah. But it's only our cameras. It's only the cameras inside this building. Yeah. The camera across the street looks into this building every 15 minutes. And that's why I won't go to the bathroom 3 minutes after. Or 18, or 33, or 48. Yeah. Okay. Watch this.
Wait, who's the...
Hicks, behind you!
Where'd you go?
Wait, who's
I can't see that?
What happened?
I never even saw her.
Don't hurt her. She's hot.
It's okay. It's okay. We'll
get a pressure bandage on that right away.
She's activating the blast door.
Take it to the left.
Wow. So basically... What I,
wait, did he say blast doors?
Yeah.
Is this the Death Star?
Open the blast doors. Open the blast doors. What's cool is you don't know who to trust, but then, like, it turns out she's not part of Red Flag. She's just, like, an assassin for hire with her cool ability, which
yeah.
It really isn't fair, is it? You can turn invisible and just kill people? You know, it's kind of lazy, isn't it? But it's the cool chick from the girl from Lost. What was her name on Lost?
I wanted to say Juliet, but it's not.
I almost said that, too. It was the one Faraday was in love with.
Yeah, her real name's Rebecca Mater, or Matter. I think it's Mater. Like, Tomater. I'm looking up her name now on Lost.
Why don't you ask Zell? I'm sure he knows.
It's Charlotte. Charlotte!
Oh!
It's treason, then.
That doesn't make any sense, Palpatine.
Nothing he says makes sense.
Wow.
Kill him now.
That's why Vader said no before he threw him down into the bog.
No.
He said, no, shut up. I don't want to hear you talk anymore.
I'm sick of your bullshit.
That's what he should have said.
No. But she was alive.
She was alive. No.
Poor dude. I love alphas, though. How great is that? I can't wait till they're on the run from the government because they're going to try to lock them all up in that government facility.
Well, I could tell what was great about this episode is when you're dealing with cable shows, you have budget episodes.
Yeah.
And this was a budget episode.
They never left the office, did they?
Yeah, they never left the office. There was some, you know, cracking and whatnot in the walls and some, you know, some pyrotechnics here and there, but you know they're setting up for something.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the whole idea that Red Flag is this big thing, and everyone's like, are you sure you're on the right side?
Right.
What's going on? That Brett Spiner character was actually developing a pill to counteract the anti-alpha pill.
Right.
There's all this cool
that's
espionage
so,
going
so
on.
It's creepy, like, to give a pregnant woman What's the word? Steroids? Not steroids. What is the word?
Sterilization?
No. The pills they're taking. It's not antibiotics. Come on. We're playing the match game here. Women take these when they're pregnant to help them along with their pregnancy. Steven, go.
Prenatal vitamins?
Yes, prenatal vitamins. Yeah, ding, 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 ding. Okay, but he's putting DNA in them. How messed up is that?
Yeah.
So
Steven, bring your mic up close to your mouth.
And so what's creepy about that is that neither side, okay, if humans are doing it to keep people from being alphas and he's doing that to make people alphas, both of them are disturbing, you know. Neither side is right, I don't think.
Yeah, and it's nice that Whistler or the doctor, I can't remember his name for some reason, David Trethairn is kind of having that crisis of conscience.
Uh-huh.
And you can see it in his face. Like, he doesn't know. He's so deep into this that he has no idea what would be the right thing or wrong thing to do.
And also the foreshadowing in the episode, how it built up. They would show things cracking or glass or whatever splitting. And I was like, "What? How is this? Is this invisible person causing this?" But it's really data locked up in the cell, Brent Spiner, the whole time doing that.
Yeah.
And it's cool how you slowly start to realize that. And they need to get a new office because that place is trashed, isn't it?
I think that's a given. Gary doesn't like that place because of the microwaves.
Yeah. I love Gary. All right, guys. Office.
I was honestly concerned for Gary when he got locked out.
Oh,
and
yeah.
All of them are like, Gary. And he's
like
holding up his badge.
He's looking down wincing, like, respect
the badge.
Yeah,
I'm like, no, don't hurt Gary.
Yeah, and then it goes to a commercial break, and the knife is right there in front of him. And he's like, he's going to get gutted. No! And poor Hicks, he gets gutted, doesn't he?
So we didn't talk about the one before where they all got possessed, right, by the...
Yeah, the one with the weird cultish guy who had those powers, Garrett Dillahunt. That was a weird episode.
Yeah.
It was very freaky.
It was
like the whole the light and everything he would create.
And yeah, and basically people would die from it. Kind of reminded me of that
lady's power
would make people love her and they would die.
Yeah.
But the whole opening to that where he's a little boy and his dad sets fire to the congregation at church. And he's like, son, don't go. And he runs away. That was disturbing. So all through this guy's life, he's done this over and over again. All these people have died for him. And the hardcore part is when David Strathairn shoots him in the face. Not like in the forehead. He shoots him like in the cheek. Like, boom. Mm-hmm. That was disturbing, too.
Well, the whole setup to that, too, is you got to learn how to use a gun. He goes, I've spent my whole life trying not to use one.
Yeah, then that is foreshadowing there. Oh, and also the foreshadowing in this one is how Bill...
Well, you should have aimed for his chest.
Yeah, he's a bad shot. And Bill, he doesn't have his powers anymore.
And where the hell did that come from?
It was from Garrett Dillahunt. Ever since he's been exposed to that thing, he couldn't remember that euphoria.
I honestly, I had to stop the show and go, did I miss an episode? Because I must have just missed that at the end of that episode.
Yeah, because when he is, like, brainwashed, he tries to move this big barrel, and he's like, I can't do it.
That's right.
So,
it was too much time between episodes.
Right.
Because it was like 2 weeks or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, took a break. And that was painful, not having it. I don't even know how many episodes are left, but it's painful.
Well, it got renewed, so know we'll have a second season.
Alphas for season two. Woohoo! All right, guys, let's talk about the series finale of Entourage.
Horrible
season series finale. Wasn't
it? It was a typical wrap up for a show that became so obsessed with its own importance, and it was just so bad.
Well,
here's why
there was nothing
bad
about
it. Ending.
There's no point to this season at all, except to wrap up the series by giving them something to do. Any conflict in the show is resolved immediately. You know, and everything ends fantastic for all of them, doesn't it?
Yeah, Vince decides to get married in 24 hours.
Turtle's a millionaire.
This clip
Sloan's pregnant.
Okay, listen to this clip at the beginning when he shows up and it's like, we predicted this too. And I'm pretty sure if you go back and listen to old Nora and Mulberries, we always predict everything that's going to happen on the show because you can just sit down. Doug Ellen sits down at a desk and he writes the whole season in one sitting is what I think. And we knew that Vince was going to marry this girl. Don't you like how there's no journey of the relationship? He just wants to date her.
Yeah.
Then he does off camera. And then they have the greatest night ever, which they don't show any of it. And then now he wants to marry her. They don't show any of their chemistry together at all.
Yeah.
Let's check this out. It's awesome, Steven.
Hey.
Yo, yo.
Hey.
Whoa. Where you been?
Clip
only
right
on the
there.
Best 24-hour date of my life.
He wasn't overhyped?
Not at all. In fact, I got something to tell you guys.
No, we got something to tell you first.
Well, it's got to wait. This is bigger.
I don't know about that, bro.
I'm telling you, this is bigger.
What is it?
I think I'm getting married.
What?
Come on, Vince.
I'm serious. I'm absolutely in love with this woman.
What, was the sex that good?
Well, yeah, but that's not it.
It's that or you're back on drugs.
I'm clearer than I've ever been.
Well, did you drug her?
No. Guys, I tried telling you the moment I met her, this is it. I thought you guys helped me because you believed.
We believe. And it's just taping your ex's testimonies to marriage is a pretty big leap. We need a little time to adjust.
No time. We're going to Paris tonight and I want you all at the ceremony.
You sure you didn't take any drugs, bro?
I'm clean and sober. I'm 100% sure about this.
Then we're in.
Good. Now, let's hear you top that news.
Sloan's pregnant.
You quit and didn't tell me?
I did it all for my family, Lloyd.
Lloyd.
Hi, Melissa. And hi to them. I love them. And I'm glad your family's fine. But I'm family too, aren't I?
You'll always be the gay son I never wanted. Yes, Lloyd.
But what will happen to me without you?
You will shine, Lloyd.
Had nothing to do
Hal,
this season, dude.
You are my inspiration, Ari. I'm still learning to be more like you.
No, you're not like me and you don't want to be. You're fair and you're honest and you don't like women.
I need you, Ari.
You don't need me, but Barbara does, because she doesn't have a clue what she's doing. You're more cunning and cuntier than she will ever be. You will shine, Lloyd, and I'm giving you your first client.
Must have missed that
right
in the
there.
Edit.
Oh, it's not the
And what about Vince?
What about Vince?
He just called me, said he's been calling you.
I've been busy. What's up? Anything wrong?
He's
dead.
Getting married.
Oh. Wouldn't that
what?
Have been better
and
ending?
He's pregnant.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, my God.
So annoying.
This show.
Okay. Christ. And then, of course, Sloan and Eric get back at the end, blah, blah, blah. Whatever.
Blah, blah.
We'll see.
You know, I'm just – everything about Entourage is what's wrong with our society. It's just this concentration on wealth can fix anything.
Oh, it totally can in the show.
Yeah, I mean, it disgusts me. It angers me.
I know. Like, all of a sudden, Turtle is rich now. He doesn't have to worry about
it. And everything's okay. Turtle's
totally.
Rich now.
Hey, you know what? They left a hanging plot thread here. The Bait Clam Restaurant. What happened with that? I gotta know.
Who can care? I mean, I'm sorry. Sorry. Who cares?
We'll never know.
You know, everybody's moving back to New York. Leave Turtle there in LA.
Hey, I can't wait till the Entourage movie, Bill. You're going to fly down here. We're all going to go see it together.
Everyone is going to rush out to see that piece of shit.
An Entourage movie. Wow.
Dead on arrival.
What is it going to be about?
You ever hear the tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise?
Oh, if it's about that, I'm totally going to go see it.
But somehow, Ari's going to be the head of the...
Right.
He wasn't overhyped?
He's Rupert Murdoch, basically. Yeah. So he's going to come. Well, at least we saw that gratuitous ass shot of his wife at the end. What was that about?
Bony ass.
It's like, what was that about? And I think they've showed her ass before. I think Doug Ellen's like, yeah, I need you to bend over in the scene.
I need to see your bony, skinny ass. Bend over.
Yeah, it was just metaphorically speaking.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think both the planes crash, and then they have to eat one another to survive. Oh. And they all sacrifice themselves for Vince.
It's been flagged.
All right, Bill, let's talk about the season finale of True Blood. And, you know, all the storylines ended. And
I'm really glad it's over.
They killed some characters. They killed poor Jesus, which I thought was kind of shocking.
That sucked. That was Jesus and... Lafayette were the two best characters this entire season because they were the only ones that made any freaking sense.
They always got out of there when they needed to, you know, and they saved the day, actually.
Yeah,
but
they did.
You know, the previous episode when Marnie dies and then, you know, he sees her over the bed and she flies into him or whatever, I'm like, oh, shit, she's not dead yet. And it wasn't as bad as the Marianne character, but it's pretty close. Am I right?
Marianne was painful. That was like...
It went on for three episodes too long.
The whole sex orgy black eye thing.
Yeah, that was so bad. So bad. But this didn't get quite that bad, but the whole cemetery scene I thought was kind of painful. With Grams or whatever she calls her.
Yeah, apparently she aged a lot in death.
But
she looked about 10 years older.
What happened to Marnie at the end? They tell her that she's dead and she has to go on with him, but does she get to go to heaven or something? What happens?
Well, apparently in True Blood world, there's no heaven or hell. It's just a hereafter.
Are they in limbo or what? Because she killed Jesus.
Yeah, because she's evil. I mean, the woman went full-on evil and killed people.
Within a matter of episodes. At first, she seemed kind of like a nice lady, not knowing what she's getting involved with. And then she got corrupted by her power.
Just wanted to practice her witchcraft.
Right. I know of somebody else that was corrupted by power, Bill. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Did you ever hear the tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise?
No, I haven't.
And but I'm sure he'll tell us.
I don't care about what shit George Lucas came up with while sitting on the shitter, okay?
About midichlorians.
Now, the Jason...
The Force no longer surrounds us and includes us. It's all about midichlorians.
It's microscopic bugs in your bloodstream, Bill. Now, the Jason-Jessica storyline, I actually like that. I like them together. I think it's funny because I like their conversations because...
Well, they're both naive. It's just Jessica's now a psychopath. Because she's a vampire.
She's sweet, too. There's something sweet about her. And what happened to Hoyt? I liked Hoyt last season. He's a friggin' raving lunatic now. He's a complete asshole. He has had the Terra makeover where he's just insane and irrational all the time. You know what I mean? What is that about?
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and check out the scene where Jason decides to break it to Hoyt that he slept with Jessica.
Hey, Jason!
Hey, buddy. What you doing?
Oh,
just working, you know? What you doing?
Just chilling.
Nice day.
Moist.
Somebody died?
No. I said, we gotta talk, man.
Oh.
You mind? You mind putting that thing down first? Listen, we've been friends a long time. You remember Boom, boom. I had sex with Jessica.
He just blurts it out.
Boom.
I ain't joking. I wish I was, but I ain't.
How?
Kind of a weird question to ask, man. But if you really want to know, missionary, then doggy, and her on top, I mean, it's nothing too kinky.
No, how could you do that to me? Not how did you fuck my girl?
I'm sorry, man. But technically, hey, technically she wasn't your girl no more. You said you never want to see her again.
Yeah, fuck you! We had a code and you broke it. You could add anyone you wanted. I'm not you, man. She was the only one.
I drank her blood. I couldn't think about anything else. I tried to fight it, but it just happened.
No, it doesn't just happen. You make choices. You make dumb, selfish piece of shit choices.
You made your point, Hoyt. Made your point.
Ain't nothing more important to you than your dick, not even your best friend. What Jess and I had, it was real. And you ain't never gonna have that, not with her, not with anybody, because there's something inside you that's it's just missing.
Sorry.
What happened to your face?
Is this another dream? Because if Hoyt pops out from under that hood, I'm gonna knock him the fuck out. Do you think there's a part of me that's missing? Is that why you don't want to stay?
No. Why would you ask me that?
Just something Hoyt said.
Thought we weren't talking about him anymore. And I don't want to drink your blood. Because I'm not ready to be that intimate with you. At least not yet.
So you're going to glamour some total stranger and drink their blood? Okay. Huh. I get it. You know, it's kind of like a hooker with kissing. Not that you're like a hooker.
Well, maybe I could pretend to be, if you like that.
You're like no other woman I've ever been with. And I have been with a lot of women.
Oh, God, that's so sweet. I'm sorry. Low blood sugar.
Can I just say I like scenes like that in True Blood more than the crazy conspiracies and all that stuff? The scenes where people are just sitting around talking, I like. Not all. I mean, I know they have to have conflict every season, but maybe dial it back a little. It doesn't have to be this.
Make it about the characters instead of a situation.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be the situation that occupies, like, it. Every character consumes them and everything. I mean, I guess the reason Alcide is around is to show that that's who Sookie belongs with, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And that
well, he's solid.
She'll never pick him because she just is making the wrong decision. When that's really who she should be with all along. But what did you think about that end scene with Tara at the end and
Holy
Debbie?
Holy shit. That really kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I thought somebody else, Russell Edgington, was going to show up or something.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought after the chains and all that.
But it says Debbie.
I thought Debbie was past that. What did Sookie have anything to do with what happened that prior night? I think it was kind of sloppy writing.
The only thing I think is she's irrational and blames Sookie for everything.
Right. Yeah, I think so.
And so she goes to shoot her and then caps Tara in the head with a shotgun. And
yeah, but then Sookie gets all Charles Bronson.
Yeah, what did you guys think about that? That's pretty shocking.
I didn't think she would pull the trigger.
I didn't either.
It was like, boom, click, clack, boom.
Or if she pulled the trigger, it'd be that, you know, right next to her head, you know, and she would,
They would show the floor all tore up, but no, nothing like that. That was pretty screwed up.
Boom, boom.
Well, we'll see what happens next season. Now, Bill, we're doing a long-ass show. Let's go ahead and get to the news. What do you say?
Yes.
Let's do it. All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
Yeah, there's one hell of a conversation going on in the chat room right now about the Star Wars movies, because we keep playing that terrible clip from Revenge of the Sith. And Zach Parks is talking about how much he still enjoys them, and he really likes the prequels.
And
there's kind of a discussion going on between everybody with the Star Wars films, how he feels that they give him enjoyment, and we're all cynical about it because we have another view of Star Wars. Growing up with Star Wars, the characters are different. Like I was saying, and I've told you this before, Darth Vader scared the shit out of me as a kid. He was a villain.
Right.
He was my boogeyman. And then the prequels come along and turn this boogeyman into this whiny bitch of a kid who didn't get his way. He was a mama's boy, and it just turned this horribly scary character into a bitch.
Totally.
And it removed some of the gravitas of the original film. So I prefer to ignore the prequels.
It removed all of the gravitas.
Yeah. And the films themselves, I can't defend them because I find them to be poorly directed, poorly written.
Are you an angel?
They basically are just 2.5 hour ILM demo reels.
I'm a pilot, you know.
There's absolutely nothing of any value to the prequels except the work the men and women at Industrial Light and Magic did.
The best part of the prequels is Revenge of the Sith, when Obi-Wan is on that yapping lizard thing. That's like the best part of all of it. Shut the hell up, you damn lizard! What the hell?
No, I can't give the prequels any credence, because I even feel that, you know, this prequel creation of George Lucas's has somewhat hindered the expanded universe books that I love to read, because he creates this entire new canon of bullshit with midichlorians and all in these Darth Plagueis and all that, and it hinders the writers and the creativity they can have.
When people say they enjoy the prequels, I don't hold anything against them. Fine, it's just I have watched them. I have enjoyed them at a time, and then it starts to sink in. Like, God, this is awful. Ugh. You know, and it really is. And the worst one is Attack of the Clones. It's a pile of shit.
See, I have to take exception to what Zach says in the chat room, that very few of the books are canon. In my mind, those books are canon. The everything that takes place after Return of the Jedi in the book series is canon to me, because that's untouched territory. That's a place that George Lucas hasn't gotten his fingers into.
Pirates talk about them.
So I absolutely love anything after in the book series after Return of the Jedi, except of course.
And it's good they have something like that for you to enjoy Star Wars still.
That's what keeps it alive for me. That's why I love Star Wars, is because of the books. You know, and George Lucas's hand got a little bit into those, because when the prequels started, he didn't want to have two characters named Anakin in the Star Wars universe. So they said, hey, you have to kill off Anakin Solo, one of the absolute best characters in the books.
Could they change his name somehow?
No. Oh. Anakin Solo was the youngest son of Leia Organa Solo and Han Solo. And he was one of the best characters out there. And they said, no, you got to kill him off. And his death was incredibly dramatic. in the book Star by Star.
So they gave him a good death?
They gave him a wonderful death. And, in fact, you know, his Force ghost has shown up every once in a while in
Star
a book.
Star 2, you didn't have the bad motivator. Look.
But that's Star Wars to me is the original trilogy untouched without any of the little touches that George Lucas felt he needed to make these kids more or these movies more kid friendly, because right. That's really what they were,
right?
And you know, Han Solo not shooting first, the little animated bits as they go into Mos Eisley, the Jawa on the Ronto.
You know,
I
say if he wants to keep tinkering with them, tinker with the prequels because they're very flawed movies. Keep improving on it and stop messing with the original trilogy. You know.
Yeah. But if anybody wants to know about why I love Star Wars as much as I do it, especially the books, just, you know, go to ForceNet and look at the novels. Look at how well they're rated. Yeah. You still have – there are some characters from the original trilogy that have now passed on. But, I mean, the crew is still there. Luke, Han, Leia, you know, just – they'll always be, I think, in a way. I don't think they would ever make that mistake of killing off one of the main characters.
Well, also, you could think that, I mean, anybody can enjoy the prequels if they want to, but there's also, why stop there? Go explore other stuff. And
yeah.
Read some of the books.
Yeah, and like you said, I have no problem with anybody that enjoys the prequels. It's my opinion. Just because right. I have an opinion that I don't enjoy them, that they tarnish my view of the original trilogy, doesn't mean you can't enjoy them.
There was a time where I was like, man, they're not that bad. It's entertaining. I'll watch it. But I've seen them way too many times where they held nothing for me anymore. I can't sit through the pod race ever again.
Yeah. They're just hollow.
Yippee!
And, yeah. I blame George Lucas 100% because of his inability to really direct actors and being surrounded by yes men, you know, and everything being green screen, nothing being natural. I think past the Phantom Menace, they didn't do any sets.
Yeah. You know, the Star Wars, The Old Republic, that's this new game that's coming out, but they have these animated intros to it. You know, I showed you those, Steven.
The cinematics.
The Sith Lord is fighting the Jedi and stuff. It's such badass action. It's so cool CG animation or whatever that I'm like, why can't they do a movie of this? You could even have Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, and Mark Hamill in them just computer animated. Because
yeah.
they can do it
right.
now and just
right.
have them do the voices. It would be awesome.
All you have to do is put them in those Avatar rigs that record the motion capture.
Right.
You know, and actually act the movie out. I think if you had good writer, director.
Everyone would get in line immediately for that. People would go to see that.
Absolutely. Especially if they looked anything like those BioWare cinematics.
You're just a prostitute.
Okay. All right, Bill, so what news stories do we have?
Sorry.
Yeah,
I think Zell said, can our conversation derail the show before Bill's news? Yes, you succeeded.
That'll be enough of that kind of talk.
You talk about Star Wars and you get me all worked up.
Yeah, we need to just ban Zell from the chat room, Bill.
He's such a problem.
All right, Bill, news.
All right, news. This is huge news, and it's relating to Gordon Ramsay. And I had saw this earlier in the week, and someone else posted it in the, the Noah and Mulberry fan club on Facebook.
Okay.
Now, this is really hard news to report. The Gordon Ramsay lookalike porn dwarf has been found dead in a badger den.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's really – in fact, I'm getting choked up about it. It's now, this is not my words. I'm just reading the story. They're so disrespectful. An itty-bitty porn star who hit the big time as a Gordon Ramsay lookalike has been found dead in a badger's den.
I don't have
Last week, the Sunday Sport revealed how – Little Percy Foster, 35.
Little Percy.
Little Percy.
Right now. Seriously?
Why am I laughing? This is terrible. who is the spitting image of foul-mouthed TV chef Gordon Ramsay, was appearing. This man, he was appearing in adult movies. But with the world at his feet and producers beating a path to his door, it's all over for pint-sized Percy.
No!
His tiny corpse was found deep in an underground chamber by
the
Ministry of Agriculture.
Those little guys from that Don't Be Afraid of the Dark movie got him.
Like a midget locksmith.
Yeah, no, he was a midget porn star. they found him ahead of a planned badger gassing.
Why? Who watches midget porn? Are you a midget and you're into it? Is that what it
is? Well, I guess there has to be porn for everyone, you know?
You smart!
I mean, if you... Let's say you ran Bartertown.
Okay.
And you were attracted to normal-sized women.
King Arab!
But you didn't want to see full-size males having relations with them.
Oh,
would you rather...
You're like, I want to imagine me in this situation.
Exactly. So now
what to do?
Now Master Blaster is able to take on that role.
That was, you know, a really articulate explanation. I like that, Bill. I now understand.
Yeah. Everybody wants, you know, to relate. So CSI teams.
Huh?
Yeah, CSI. Yeah, they called in.
Oh, shit. Grissom was over there?
Yeah, they called him in out of retirement.
What the hell is going on right about now?
And they used what they call fingertip technology to remove Percy's body from a 6-foot-deep burrow. So I'm guessing fingertip is kind of like those grabbers that elderly people use. You just kind of reach down in and pull it out. I don't know.
All right.
Sources close to the investigation said Percy was clothed, but part of his corpse had been partially gnawed by animals.
So hot! Oh, poor little guy.
I know. It's not yet clear how Percy died, though suicide has not been ruled out. Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't want to commit suicide by tossing themselves in a den of badgers?
Has Gordon Ramsay heard about this? I wonder if he's upset about it.
I hope he, you know, contributes to the fund, the Percy Porn Dwarf Fund.
Leave me alone, please.
Oh, he wants to be left alone, Bill.
It's hard to deal with when someone that looks so much like you is taken. It's really tough.
There's no question whatsoever.
Percy's movie producer, Dexter Yamanka, said Percy was a little guy with big problems.
He wasn't overhyped?
No, I don't think he was. I think he had real talent.
So he was kind of like a porn Simon Birch. A little dude with a lot of problems.
I think he did well under pressure, but like everyone in the business, it's hard.
It eats you up and spits you out, right?
It does, just like a badger.
Oh.
here it says a friend of Gordon Ramsay said he had not effing heard about tragic Percy's death.
He had not effing heard?
But an inquest has been opened and adjourned. So, you know, they looked in to see if there was any foul play in this badger gnawing death of little porny Percy.
Just get the out of here.
They don't believe any foul play was had except by maybe the Badgers.
No! Oh, my God.
All right. Richard Handel is a Swedish man. And I got to thank Walter O'Hara for this story. He's a Swedish man who tried to set up a nuclear reactor in his home.
Oh, why?
Okay.
Maybe he was trying to split the beer atom.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm from Tasmania.
He wanted to get beer to have a nice frosty head.
How a person dresses is nobody's business but his or her own.
Okay.
So a Swedish man who was arrested after trying to split atoms. Now, they don't specify beer atoms, but I would only... I mean, come on. If you're going to split atoms, it might as well be a beer atom.
You're just a prostitute.
Hey, that's not nice.
What?
It's nothing to do with prostitution. And Percy wasn't a prostitute. He's a porn star.
Did he invent a Beatles song?
I think he might have. All right, so this guy, Richard Handel in Sweden, was trying to split atoms in his kitchen, and he was only doing it as a hobby.
That's a place to do it if you're going to do that in your house.
A really big hammer.
At least in the kitchen, you have, you know, your cutting board, and you can turn the vent on if there's any, gaseous emissions.
Huh?
Yeah. Richard Handel told the Associated Press that he had radioactive elements, radium, americium, or americium, and uranium in his... Or would that be americium? I have no freaking idea, and I really don't care. In his apartment in southern Sweden, when police showed up and arrested him on charges of unauthorized possession of nuclear material. Now, how do they discover that, and how the hell does he get a hold of these things?
Geiger counter?
Do they just, like, go around town, like, oh, let's get out the Geiger counter for shits and giggles?
Probably.
He was posting it on his blog. He was bragging.
Oh, is that what it was?
Oh, he's like, guess what I did, guys? Guess what I did this weekend?
Yeah, and Steven's exactly right. He must have read the same story. 31 Handel said he tried for months to set up a nuclear reactor at home and kept a blog about his experiments, describing how he created a small meltdown on his stove. Oh, that's just so funny. A small meltdown? Are you out of your effing mind? No, I'm just going to die of radiation poisoning. No big deal.
The guy's not very smart.
No, he said he's always been interested in physics and chemistry. He just wanted to see if it was possible to split atoms at home.
The answer is no.
No, yeah. He says from now on he'll stick to theory, but let's see how well that works.
I've got goosebumps everywhere.
All right. I saw this story earlier in the week, and Andy Hayes pointed out to me again on the website, on the Facebook fan club for Nowhere in Mulberry. Nicolas Cage was telling a story while promoting his new thriller, Trespass, which I'll never understand why he made with Joel Schumacher, because he made 8mm with that man, and who the hell would work with him again after that?
That's crazy.
But they were asking him if he had any interesting home invasion stories, and he said, it was 2 a.m. I was living in Orange County at the time, and was asleep with my wife. The bees! No, not the bees! No, my 2-year-old at the time was in another room. I opened my eyes, and there was a naked man wearing my leather jacket and eating a fudgesicle in front of my bed. I know it sounds funny, but it was horrifying.
How to get burned? How to get burned? How to get burned? How to get burned?
Best part of that movie is him just punching the women for no particular reason.
Is that the end of his story?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Wow. But what I love here is that the story has to tell people that a fudgesicle is a frozen ice cream-like snack.
Because, wow.
Some people don't know what fudgesicles are. Maybe overseas. Who knows?
Holy shit.
But Cage said the ordeal ended after he talked the man out of his house and police arrived. Did not press charges as the man had mental problems and Cage could relate.
I don't like how that shit works.
That's my favorite drop.
All right. And in case you wanted to know about this Joel Schumacher film, Trespass.
That's crazy.
Yes, it is crazy. It's scheduled for release in October, and thieves con their way into an opulent mansion where Cage lives with his unhappy wife, Nicole Kidman, and their daughter. The family is held for ransom, and the movie follows a path of twists and turns as negotiations with the intruders ensue.
There's nothing too kinky.
That really sounds fantastic. Thank you, Joel Schumacher, for making another film I won't watch.
I'm so glad.
The brutal art of ripping, poking, and pressing vital targets.
All right. Here's another story out of Sweden. A seemingly intoxicated moose has been discovered entangled in an apple tree by a stunned Swede. Pierre Johnson, 45, says he heard a roar from his vacationing neighbor's garden in southwestern Sweden late Tuesday. And that was more of a moo. But he went to have a look, and there he found a female moose kicking about in the tree.
It's a proper property.
The animal was likely drunk from eating fermented apples. Mm. We've had this situation before on the show, haven't we? Where something ate fermented apples and got drunk and went somewhere it shouldn't have.
Yeah, totally, like, just went on a bender.
These mooses just, they can't help themselves. They're really kind of just, they're nuisances. They're alcoholic nuisances.
And they're dangerous, too, aren't they?
They are. With the help of police and rescue services, Johansson later managed to set the moose free in part by sawing off tree branches. See, now this moose went and ruined a perfectly good tree. So, you know, they should have just killed the moose and kept the tree. But the animal appeared confused, wandered into Johnson's garden, where she was still resting on Thursday. All right, so it's still hanging around.
That's crazy.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, they say the moose appeared to be sick, drunk, or half stupid.
Half stupid.
I don't have
only half.
To say.
Slightly.
They're
going to
do
not
IQ tests on the moose later this week.
It'll come to its senses. All right, in Denver, Colorado, two men are accused of engaging in a disturbing reenactment of the movie Weekend at Bernie's. After authorities say they drove around town with a dead friend in their car, running up a bar tab on his account and eventually using his ATM card to withdraw $400 at a strip club. What is he needed for? He's dead. Robert Young, 43, and Mark Robinson, 25, have been charged with abusing a corpse, identifying theft, and criminal impersonation. It's unclear how Jeffrey Jarrett, 43, died, but the men are not charged in his death. The coroner said toxicology tests were pending. Young and Rubinson are free on bond but cannot be reached for comment. And now, of course, the story explains exactly what Weekend at Bernie's is.
No.
In the 1989 Hollywood comedy, two ne'er-do-wells find their boss dead at his ritzy beachfront home and escort his body around town, attempting to save the weekend of luxury they had planned. Now that just sounds like a romp.
It's a great movie, man.
I thought I was going to poop myself.
I think I might have shat myself while watching it. It was just so hilarious. In Denver last month, according to the police affidavit that gives an account of the story, Young arrived at Jarrett's home and found him unresponsive. But rather than call authorities, he went to find Rubinson. The duo returned to Jarrett's home and put his lifeless body into Rubinson's SUV, headed to a night spot where they spent more than an hour drinking, leaving Jarrett's body in the vehicle. So it wasn't really a Weekend at Bernie's. If it was, they would have took him into the strip club.
So what are you doing later?
They used Jarrett's card to pay for the drinks, noting they did not have Jarrett's consent. I would be kind of hard to get it.
This plus this plus this equals this.
Well, my buddy wanted me to have a good time, so I know he wouldn't mind paying, so.
Yeah. Rubinson and Young then drove to another restaurant to hang out. Jarrett's body slumped in the back along for the ride. So this was not Weekend Bernie's at all. Weekend Bernie's implies fun and having a dead person with you. These guys just threw the body in the car and drove around.
He's done it.
Yeah, put sunglasses on him. And
they probably put it in the car. I was like, damn, this guy's too freaking heavy.
It would be good if like a certain kind of music plays like and he comes to life.
No, that was Weekend at Bernie's 2.
Ah, sequel.
Yeah, and it had to be steel drum music. Yeah, because they were in Jamaica.
That's right.
Where all the hoodoo voodoo
it's
is.
It's a Sith legend.
Curse on
Darth Plagueis.
Yeah,
Darth
no.
Lord of the Sith. So powerful.
We don't care about
so
this guy. He's never been in any of the movies. He doesn't even have an action
to
people.
Influence the midichlorians to create.
Shut up!
Blah, blah, blah. Midichlorians create life, blah, blah. So now
in
you're
name
trying
of
to
the
say
Galactic
that
Senate
Anakin
of Republic,
Skywalker was.
You're under arrest, Chancellor.
Hey, Vey.
Is that what he's trying to say? That Anakin Skywalker was a virgin birth? Like he influenced the midichlorians to create him?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yep. He's an asshole.
Definitely.
All right, and that's news for this week.
All right, Bill. Thank you for doing the news this week.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and see someone about your hearing.
Huh? All right, Bill. What do you say we do some, huh?
DVDs.
DVDs!
Let's do some DVDs.
HD, Blu-ray, standard definition. DVDs. Yes, hello, baby.
This is the Big Papa speaking.
Master Jedi.
All right, Bill, what do we have in the DVDs this week?
That was really harmonious, guys. That was excellent. Well, I really enjoyed that.
Why, thank you.
You heard me.
All right. Coming up on DVDs for my birthday, September 20th, 2011.
Oh, happy birthday. I know it's so early.
Thank you.
It's 4 days early, right?
Yeah, it is. It counts, so you won't have to wish me one next week, so you're safe.
You look like one of those fellas who's attracted to other men.
Yeah, oh, I love them.
Hey, what the hell is that about?
They're so sexy and manly.
Don't just stand there, boys. Get him.
What?
I don't know.
No.
If you don't mind me asking, Bill, how years young are you going to be? How many years?
I will be 32.
32?
Yes, I was born September 20th, 1979, in Washington, Pennsylvania.
Wow, I thought you were going to say a coal miner's daughter, but okay.
Well, no, I wasn't born a coal miner's daughter, but I was born a, well, never mind, I can't even figure it out. My family's such full of mutts.
Bill, I know it's kind of early, but how about, what do you say?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Does it get any better than that, Bill?
No. Well, Whoopi Goldberg would be better.
Oh, yeah!
Happy birthday to you.
Ah, good times.
Man, they're just enjoying themselves.
Happy birthday to you. I never get tired. Happy birthday. Good times.
Wow, that freaking cackling.
In my dreams, I am the wizard master.
Okay.
Hmm.
All right, Bill. Okay. DVD videos for your birthday.
All right, DVDs for my birthday, September 20th, 2011. Starting off with, I'm trying to decide whether I should go the DVD or Blu-ray route first. It's really nothing special on DVD, so let's go with Blu-ray Bridesmaids on DVD and Blu-ray in an unrated edition because they didn't put enough in the R-rated edition.
Cool. Did you ever get to see that, Steven?
No, sir.
It's pretty good.
I enjoyed it. It's funny movie.
Good one.
You know what? Yeah. When I went to see that in the theater, the volume was so freaking low. It was driving me nuts. And I go through that thing where, whoa, I shouldn't have to get up because I'll miss some of the movie now. But if I get up, but it's still driving me nuts, so I gotta go complain. You know,
missing stuff now.
Don't you hate when you're in the theater and you can hear like bass rumble from the theater next to you? Ugh.
You're like, why aren't I in that movie?
Drives me nuts.
I'm gonna knock him the fuck out.
Okay.
Easy, Jake.
Why, you're so angry.
But I really enjoyed Bridesmaids. I'll never forget what a guy on Facebook said. Funniest movie of the year. 2 out of 5 stars. sounds great. What? What?
So doesn't 2 normally mean
terrible?
Didn't like it?
Average or... That's or no,
below average.
No, yeah. 3 is good.
2.5. Yeah.
4
be
is
average.
Excellent. 5 is best movie ever made. Right?
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Super extreme death metal fighting system.
Now that gets
super happy,
stars.
Crazy fun time.
Super terrific happy hour.
That gets 5 throwing stars.
Monkey Sonic, go.
Monkey Sonic, go. Super Go-Go, Halji, Mama Waza. All right, moving on. We're going in deep into the catacombs now for a film. Dead Heat.
With Joe Piscopo. I love it!
Her buttocks.
Huh? I like Dead Heat.
It is a fun movie.
It's got Treat Williams and Joe Piscopo. Hells yes. Hells yes.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Piscopo is a wisecracking cop.
You don't get any better than that.
It's not a... I mean, what's in what you call, like, Punisher good? No. Exactly Punisher good, I think.
Punisher, hey, it's got Darren McGavin in it, and that's all I need.
I'm trying to think. Did Mark Goldblatt direct that? Does it say?
Yeah.
He was an editor who was a director for that movie, and it's not a great movie, but it's entertaining.
It is entertaining.
It's something I would own, definitely.
Oh yeah, something just to throw on, just kind of laugh. Like, hey, I actually own Dead Heat.
Now, is this on Blu-ray?
It is on Blu-ray.
That is sweet. I hope it's like $5.
Now, it's on Blu-ray, but it's an Image release,
which
Image isn't exactly known for their transfers anymore.
It's
they
been
used
tried.
To be in the age of DVD, but now they're not. They kind of fell through the cracks.
Wow.
Yeah,
you're just
so,
a prostitute.
Until we hear anything about, like, reviews or anything, I might hold off.
Yeah, but I'd like to own it.
All right, next.
It's a pristine, a print, though.
A direct copy of the...
There's nothing too kinky.
Of the 16mm Master.
Good times.
All right, next we have Dumbo, the 70th Anniversary Edition on Blu-ray and DVD.
Oh, good old Dumbo.
I remember this was the first movie I saw as a kid where someone swore.
Really?
And I thought Jackass was a swear.
Oh.
I remember the one kid calling Pinocchio, or, no, that was Pinocchio. God damn it. I am a jackass.
No.
I get all these old Disney movies confused. Shows you how much of a fan I am.
Come on, they all blend in together.
They really do.
It was just metaphorically speaking.
I think Dumbo was actually in Pinocchio, so... No, I have no idea. I don't think so. The other crazy thing that they've been doings is putting the Blu-rays in a DVD case.
I don't know about that, bro.
What
a waste of packaging.
So the Blu-ray part is the bonus in the DVD purchase?
Or just putting it in the DVD-sized case. Like, people like, these Blu-rays are smaller and blue. I need them bigger and blacker.
What?
They're putting them in DVD cases.
Ah.
Okay. They like things big and black.
You went black, so I got concerned.
I want them bigger and blacker.
A small black object.
Thank you, Vanessa.
I am the Senate.
No, you're just a creepy old man. He's had his face melted by Force Lightning. All right, moving on DVDs. This is going to be a quick one because there really isn't a whole lot. Why not pick up a new re-release of Flowers in the Attic?
Woulda, shoulda, coulda.
Yeah.
I've never seen Flowers in the Attic, but isn't that a V.C. Andrews book or something? Isn't that a book?
Yeah. You've never seen this with really young Christy Swanson?
No, I haven't. But my entire life, I remember seeing those books, and like some girl would have it in school. Like, is it a good book or what? What's going on?
I never read the books, but the movie always creeped me out because the kids are. I think they're not orphans. Their mom is still around, but. The grandmother's like this crazy bitch that makes the mom keep the kids in the attic.
What a bitch.
Yeah, and it's really nutty.
Oh, nutty? It's like a candy bar?
Yeah, like Snickers. A little
Just
bit of nougat and caramel.
Shit all of them out. Whole.
Excuse me?
Delicious. The next Blu-ray is, this was really kind of, I think I'm going to have to, I'll skip back a little bit. Gettysburg, not the film, not the Ted Turner produced Gettysburg, but this History Channel special Gettysburg, where they kind of do it from different points of view, and it's produced by Tony and Ridley Scott. But here's the problem. Gettysburg was a huge battle. Huge battle.
Right.
This show, this documentary, whatever you want to call it, had like 15 reenactors. This is supposed to make us think that there was like 200,000 soldiers, these 15 guys.
This plus this plus this equals this.
Yeah, it just wasn't, it was very...
the same person kept running by the camera?
Yeah.
What the hell are you?
I think they made like a call to reenactors and only like 15 of them showed up. And they're like, oh, well, we'll just work with it. We'll fix it in post. And then when they finally got the post, they didn't have any money to fix it. So they're like, oh, just leave it as it is.
I barely noticed the same guy running by six times.
Just really.
That's so sweet.
And it was, I watched it because, I like these historical reenactment things, and I thought it was interesting, but I just felt bad that there were so little reenactors in it. It's like, wow, this is really uncomfortable. I feel bad for them. All right, why not pick up the Scary Movies on Blu-ray? Because everyone knows how much we love the Wayans brothers. I'm so sorry. I just accidentally pushed my mic up away from my face.
No.
So you heard the click thump.
Now, the Wayans brothers have a new show on MTV about zombies. I haven't watched this
show. No, they don't.
They do.
No, don't tell me that.
I've heard it's hilarious. Yay!
You know, the other night I was flipping through the channels. There was a special on my cable system.
Yes.
So they added Stars for free. And, yeah. And White Chicks was on. I watched about 5 minutes of it.
Time to go up now.
Those contacts that they use...
Why do they even need those?
Yeah, like super scary dead eyes.
He wasn't just overhyped?
So bad. They should have done a makeup test and went, you know what? This isn't going to work.
Please don't rub any more salt in the wounds.
All right. For Halloween, everyone knows I love the Buddies movies. Air Buddies and all those. Space Buddies.
Hells yeah. Quality films.
Why not pick up for Halloween Spooky Buddies?
Oh, those cute little Spooky Buddies.
Cute little puppies that are all dressed up for Halloween.
Aww. Until they start getting murdered one by one.
Happy Halloween, ladies.
Thank you, Krogan.
What? Did you say Krogan?
Did I say Krogan? I just said Krogan because of Mass Effect. I don't know why I just said Krogan.
I was just like, huh?
What?
Who'd you say?
It's getting late.
Hey! It is getting late. This has been a long show.
Because you know
show.
What? I have Highlander sitting right here, and I just watched it. I just watched it yesterday.
Highlander?
Krogan. You friggin' idiot. And yeah, that's pretty much it, unless you want to pick up some SpongeBob DVDs.
Oh, I do.
All right. Well, then go ahead. Go out and ask for them.
I must.
SpongeBob's Runaway Road Trip. Oh, you know what? No, I got to mention this.
Okay.
The last DVD... this is a really kind of a cult classic that I don't know if it's been on DVD here in the States. The Stuff. Do you remember this? The Larry Cohen movie? Yogurt-like substance oozes from the ground and everybody starts eating it?
Explain.
All right, so this stuff called the stuff is this new like dessert thing, and it's like it's like an ice cream, but it's killing people. People get like addicted to it, and it turns them into these like monsters.
What?
You've never seen this?
Yeah, no, I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
I think I even have a rip of it on my hard drive somewhere.
Is it creepy?
It's not so much creepy as it's kind of like Larry Cohen's attempt at like a Romero statement movie.
Oh, God.
Is it like kind of stomach turning gross?
At times. The makeup is pretty impressive at times.
Is this statement about food and how people will just put anything in their bodies?
Sort of, yeah. Yeah, it's just people start eating the stuff, and this one kid won't eat any. And he's trying to convince everyone else that it's bad. He sees it, you know, how it's messing up his family.
I don't trust that guy for a second.
Yeah, it's a really screwed up movie. It's disgusting and it's funny and can be gross.
Huh.
Yep. Oh my God.
Sounds creepy.
Yes, I remember the line. Are you eating it or is it eating you?
I've got goosebumps everywhere.
Yeah, so it's a goofy movie.
Cool. All right, The Stuff.
Yes, The Stuff. And that's it for DVDs this week.
All right, Bill, thank you for doing the DVDs.
You're so welcome.
Are you sure you didn't take any drugs, bro?
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And see.
Song, huh, guys?
It's making me think of the opening of Beverly Hills Cop.
Time to throw up now.
Hey. All right, everybody. That was episode 245 of Nowhere Mulberry. Oh, man, that's a lot of episodes. Hey, that Emma. Is. Come and say hi in the microphone. Yeah. That one?
She's still hesitant after being told, go away.
That's not what I ever said, Bill.
No, but she thought you did.
Hi, Emma.
Say hi, Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
You having a good night?
Uh-huh.
Did you have pizza for dinner?
Yes.
Was it good?
Was it Cece's?
No, Papa Murphy's.
Nice.
All right. Bill likes Papa Murphy's, too.
Love Papa Murphy's.
Good stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
He first told me about it.
Oh, okay.
It's take and bake. Take it home, bake it.
Okay.
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 Well, Emma, guess what? If you go to nowhereinmulberry.com, you can find a link to our forum where
awesome.
You can post things about our show.
Awesome.
You can also send us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com.
Awesome.
Also call 1-206-202-3491 and leave us a voicemail.
Really?
Yep.
I'll leave you a voicemail while you were doing your show.
You do that. Leave us a voicemail. But you could also, do you have money in your piggy bank, right,
Emma?
I
left the voicemail on the phone.
Oh, okay. Oh, on my phone?
Yeah.
Is that who's calling me?
Yes.
Emma, get $5 out of your piggy bank, donate, and you get the best of Nora Mulberry.
Okay.
Is that a good deal, Bill? Man, what kind of cheap bastard am I? Can't just give it to my daughter? I'm kidding. I can't believe I said that in front of you. I'm sorry. I said a bad word.
It's fine. I don't even remember what you said.
That's good. You weren't listening. That's good. You need to start early tuning out the parents, right? Right, Bill?
Yes.
I heard that.
Good stuff. All right, everybody. Well, that's our show. I hope you enjoyed it. Hope you enjoyed Steven and our the new computer. I know I've got some things to work out with the sound card, Bill, levels and such, but
I think we'll get it.
We'll get it down. You know, it took like a good year for us to get the main sound. I don't know how long it took, but our early shows.
Took a few shows, yeah.
Yeah, it took a while. But we'll get it down.
Oh.
What do you think, Emma? Thumbs up or thumbs down? Thumbs up. You're supposed to say thumbs up because no one can see your thumb.
Really? Thumbs up.
Okay. Thanks a lot. All right, everybody. We'll see you next time. Hopefully, Laura will be able to visit us again.
Dark Vader.
Huh?
A Dark Vader helmet.
Oh, yeah. She sees the Darth Vader helmet on your Skype avatar bill.
Yeah, it is.
But I like it. She calls him Dark Vader. That's awesome. Hey, Emma, I want to play something for you. Tell me if you can tell who this is, okay?
Sure.
This is just for you.
So what is it?
Hold on.
It's a surprise.
Okay.
Close your eyes.
You got to tell me what movie is this from. Okay, ready?
No!
Do you know what that's from?
Star Wars.
Yes, very good. See, Bill? I've taught her well. Is Bill still there? I don't know.
Bill! Yeah.
All right, everybody. See you next time.
All right, you two. Get your friend and get out of here.
But he's dead.
So what? Get him out of here.
Now this is podcasting.
I thought I was going to poop myself. Just shit them out. Shit all of them out. Whole.
I don't know about that, bro.
Do it.
Whoa. Boom, boom.
It was just metaphorically speaking.